or call 1-800-SHAMROCK
for your free IE Nation planner.
WWNN, Pompano Beach. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Hollis.
Sunday night, I'm John Hollis. We're hanging out as Rockers in Recovery. We've got a three-hour show ahead of us. We're hanging out at WNN, 1470 AM, right here in South Florida, streaming live, of course, all over the place. And if you're listening to us on Facebook or Twitter or any other, of course, social medias that are following us, like intherooms.com, we want to welcome you. Of course, it's a Sunday night. We're always having a blast on a Sunday night here live. We always have great rhetoric. Oh, that's right. He's going to be calling in tonight. Our boy Rocket from Rhetoric will be calling in tonight. Had a show last night. I guess it went well. And I want to find out a little bit about that. Also, we are looking forward to the 12-Step Music Fest. The 12-Step Music Fest is going to be, of course, taking place November 4th through the 7th. Right around the corner, folks. And we're going to be broadcasting live the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. 2 hours each day. The total is 6 hours, streaming, and, of course, on the airways here at WNN, 1470 AM. So you can tune in if you can't make it to the 12-Step Music Fest. But if you can, go to 12stepmusicfest.com. There is general camping available. They have run out of room as far as RVs are concerned. But as far as getting, you know, general camping, it's a great place to go and hang out. And you have, of course, meeting tents. They have meetings in the water. It's for all 12-step fellowships. It's a place to go and hang out and listen to great music and also have some, you know, great fellowship and, you know, lots of great things to do. Good food. I was there last year and broadcasted live, and we had a blast. So, of course, we're looking forward to being back there and hanging out with Dawn Wilder and the rest of the folks. Just had Chuck Negron on this past Thursday night, and he's going to be down there. We've had on Blackfinger, we've had on Natural Habit, we've had on Patti B, we've had on a whole bunch of slew of folks that, of course, are going to be playing down there. And, of course, Dawn Wilder will also be playing there. But, you know, we're looking forward to a great show. We had Artie Kornfeld on. Of course, Artie's going to be the master of ceremony, along with, of course, great comedian Mark Lundholm. And we're looking forward to, of course, being down there and hanging out with everybody. Also, want to let you know that the HolisticLifestylesRadio.com, if you check out the website, put up a new page. It's the Ricky Bird page. You can go check that out. It's a nice little spot for Ricky Bird to perch himself on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. And, of course, we also have a new page up where you can go and you can check out some of our past guests. We're actually in the process of this week of getting all 700 episodes represented on that page in one form or another, and a link to each one of the shows that they were. So you can go and click on a little icon of the person's face. So you can click on their face and then listen to their show. It's almost like they're talking. And they ain't going to scream at you like, don't click on my face, but they will protrude a song that's probably something that you've heard in the past or maybe a subject matter that you like. So check it out. It's at Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network at HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. Also, we have, of course, some things happening in the news that were pretty incredible. I don't know if you've been following the Keith Richards thing. Has anybody been following the Keith Richards thing?
What's going on with Keith Richards?
Keith Richards, of course, is not only getting a cameo in the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Well, yeah, he was Jack's father in the third one.
Exactly. Well, he's back. He's back in the new episode. But, you know, he's been on a tour you know, discussing his new book. The book, in my opinion, should
me
be...
Me and Cockroaches, how we how we survived.
I really believe that, you know, the Keith Richards book should be really, I don't care what anybody says about anything, I'm just going to tell it like it is. Now, of course, the best part of this book is that he's doing the tour and he's doing the rounds. And I was able to catch on the Today Show a little bit of it, and CBS a little bit of it. I've been watching. I'm wondering if it's going to make it to Fox News. I doubt it, but you never know. But the bottom line is that Keith is out. New book, Life. The Keith Richards book on life. And it's a pretty off the chain from what I understand. It talks about everything and everybody, and no bones about it, tells it like it is. And this, is the guy that snorted his father's ashes with a little bit of
this cocaine. Is the guy that out-partied Hunter S. Thompson.
Hey, no kidding. He just, a couple of years ago, fell out of a coconut tree and cracked his head open.
Why won't this guy die?
Now, on top of that, a few years before that, and, you know, I'm only going by what he said. You know, it isn't like I'm quoting this guy or misquoting him. I snorted my dad's ashes with a little bit of cocaine.
Yeah, I remember that that whole fiasco when that happened.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It kind of hit me at the heart there because I was like, you know, if my old man dies.
Well, hey, listen.
Damn, that was my plan, and now I can't do it. Now I have to do something else.
I'm a true believer of live and let live, but I got to tell you, Keith is one of those guys that just keeps living no matter what.
Well, I actually heard a rumor many years ago, and I think it was so popular that if you watch the movie Wayne's World 2, there's a guy in it, there's a crazy English roadie who roadied with all the bands back in the day, and he says, sleeping upside down will add 10 years to their life. This is why Keith Richards cannot be killed by conventional means. That's why he lives, is because he sleeps upside down.
Listen, I remember reading an article on Playboy back in the 80s. I think it was 1980. 80 or 81. It was just before their Some Girls tour. No, Some Girls was 78, so it must have been Tattoo U. Just before the Tattoo U tour.
I love how you know the dates of this thing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Never
so it
recall.
But just before that tour, they all went somewhere in Sweden and had some blood transfusions.
Yeah, that was the other rumor, is that he has, what is it?
And
not defibrillator. The other one with a D. He gets it once every couple of months. He gets his blood
dialysis.
Taken out. Dialysis. That would be it.
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit more than that. I don't know, so don't quote me, folks, but I can tell you that I know that what they're doing is they're detoxifying the chemicals out of his bloodstream. So that way,
kill his liver.
Well, that way, you know, he can also add more. It's like, you know, if you clean up the blood, it's like getting high all over again.
Well, maybe that's the trick.
You know?
You'll
have all those toxins in your body.
Yeah, I guess that would work.
Filter it out.
I guess. I would say that it would probably go a long way in keeping your kidneys alive.
I can tell you this, that most people are either dead in prison or on their way or have been in a psychiatric ward for many years if you partied. Well, I'm not even a party. Let's call it party. If you abuse substances like that man did, for 40 years.
Yeah.
50 years.
Yeah, continually.
40 that we know of.
Yeah.
And
I think I started when he got out of the womb.
Oh, absolutely.
Popped out with a joint, took a line, took a shot of whiskey and said, Mama, hit the road.
Well, how old is he now? Does it say how old he is? He's got to be 70. I know
something.
He's 70.
Yeah,
70
he's
got to
be in his 70s.
Yeah, 70 plus. Now, we got this thing going on with Ginger Baker from Cream. And we're going back and forth with emails right now. We were supposed to have him on this week, and it's being postponed until this coming Sunday or maybe after the 12-Step Music Fest. But it's pretty cool, actually, because we got the Sun coming on, and the Sun is touring worldwide. And Ginger's playing with him periodically.
Very cool.
So the Sun's going to be on the phone, and the Father's going to be answering the email questions to the Sun. And we're going to be able to hear the answers as we give the question to the Sun, and it's going to be
It's a little system we've worked out, but it's going to work.
It's going to work.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going
to
be.
Come on, you're going to get to talk to Ginger Baker.
Listen, here's
his son.
Here's the amazing part of this. Okay, and it really blows my mind. People are like, he's got a hearing problem? I'm like, listen, dude, he's been playing for 60 years drums. Do you think if you sat on a set of drums for 60 years, your hearing might be a little shot?
There's not one drummer I know over the age of 45 or 50 that does not have hearing problems.
What?
Exactly.
Excuse me?
Huh?
So we have that blissful situation taking place over the next couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to, of course, being involved with, you know, the day-to-day operations of Rockers in Recovery and having the guests on that we've had on. We've been very, very blessed in some of the guests that and all of our guests that have appeared with us and come on the radio, and the places we get to go and the people we get to meet are in a blessed situation.
And now that you're doing this whole picture thing, I got to go back through all that sci-fi show archives. And we've had a lot of great guests on as well. Unfortunately, speaking of deaf people, we couldn't get Gary Busey because he's deaf.
Mm.
But we did get his son, Jake, and that was a very good interview. And he's actually got a little weird theory that his dad is just pretending the whole time.
I'm not even here.
Yeah. Well, no, that he's the whole weirdness, the whole, it's all an act.
Really?
Yeah. Straight from his son's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, listen. You know, like I said, live and let live.
Yeah.
You know,
I was,
I know,
really,
I'm
hoping
to be a freak every once in a while,
Gary. But you know, and now that we especially have the Florida bail bonds.
Yeah.
Now I can know that sci-fi show might be having a little more crazy escapades in our live events.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned Richard Stein from All Florida Bail Bonds because he's going to be calling in tonight. Let me ask him a few questions about, you know, some of the things that have taken place.
I give him all my information ahead of time so he can just, you know, fill it out. Mr. West, you've been let go.
Give him an open credit card.
There you go.
So he's going to be calling in. But, you know, it's a very unique situation because he deals with everybody. I mean, you know, he deals with somebody for, you know, that has nothing, that the parents are bonding somebody out, to somebody that has money and has the ways and means and can get themselves out. But the reality is if you're in a situation where you're continuing to do something over and over and over and over and over again, and you need to have a bondsman in your Rolodex,
you have a problem.
There's probably an issue.
There's just maybe just a little issue somewhere along that line.
I can understand once. I can even understand a couple of times. Especially if it's tickets. You know what I mean? I can understand that. But, you know, when you're, you know, picked up for your 10th DUI, and, you know, they caught you with your, you know, your 18th rock.
Yeah.
You know, your bag of reefer, and it's happened.
Well, actually, Hollywood, the city of Hollywood, had it on the ballot. I'm not sure if it went through or not, to decriminalize marijuana to the point that you'd only get a ticket and not get arrested.
That's a traffic ticket. It depends on the size of it.
Yeah, I think it has to be less than an ounce. But still, if you're walking around with that much, you know, or driving around with that much weed on you, and this is your fourth or fifth time getting picked up, you might want to, you know, change up your game a little bit.
See here, you know, I got one of those. I got a bad. I'm just like anti across the board because, and it's just for me. You know, I know that for me, I can't smoke a joint. I can't drink a beer. I can't smoke a rock. You know, I to be quite frank, I have never met in my years of drug abuse when I was out in the streets, did I ever meet somebody that was a social crackhead? Just never happened.
Yeah.
A social heroin addict never took place.
Yeah, there's never not much call for these social meth heads.
Now, exactly. At the same token, I've never really met a social pothead. Now, I know there's lots of people out there that are freaking out right now.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I've never met one. I've met one that wants to wake and bake. I've met people that want to sleep and bake, that want to take breaks and bake, that want to, you know, have lunch and bake, you know.
Oh, I've had a roommate at one point, this guy, and I swear, I thought he was on crack at first because his room always smelled terrible. No, what he was doing was he was
in the shower.
Well, that too. He was obsessed not with weed, but with resin.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, it just
please, let's not even go there.
Just
because Now, you know, that just shows the insanity, the insidiousness of the disease when you're sitting there pushing a pipe for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Trying to get something out of it because you're broke.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the couch watching the Flintstones. You're 38 years old. You're pushing a pipe and you're trying to get resin. And why? Because you want to get high, but you don't have any money because you don't have a job.
Yep. That was his thing. And that's why we picked him out of the house.
Scary. Scary, but, you know, there's not a problem with that.
No.
There's no problem with that. I'm okay. But then, you know, they get the phone call. Richard gets the phone call. There he is. I bet you that's him right now.
That's probably him.
That's him. Richard gets the phone call. And, of course, Richard gets that phone call, and he says, hey, you know, you need to be bailed out, and this is your 18th time of doing it. Of course, things are going to get a little ugly. Judges don't want to continue hearing that stuff over and over again. Now, if you're in a position where you understand that using has affected your life, it continues to affect your life, and there might be something you want to do about it. Now, I know for me, it took a lot of pain, a lot of misery. It took a lot of me beating my head against the wall. But most importantly, I had to come to some kind of an understanding that I was repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have Richard on from All Florida Bail Bonds. We'll be back right after this message.
Listening to Rockers in Recovery on 1470 AM and the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show Network. Join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or go to holisticlifestylesradio.com. Stay tuned for more Rockers in Recovery right after this message from our sponsor.
InTheRoom.com is the number one free online social network for the global recovery community. InTheRoom.com is a safe and secure place to find old friends and make new ones. Featuring online chat and blogs, you can create your own group, listen to speakers, read a daily meditation, catch up on recovery news, and much, much more. And InTheRoom.com, you get connected, stay connected, and connect with others in the recovery community around the world. InTheRoom.com, where social media and recovery merge. www.intheroom.com. That's intheroom.com. Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
It's time once again for the third annual 12-Step Music Fest, November 4th through the 7th, hosted by comedian Mark Lundholm with Natural Habit, Blackfinger, Thorn Alive, Chuck Negron, Chillbillies, Dave Aaron, Big Bubba Mac, Ben, and Don Wilder, with special guest Artie Cornfield, the father of Woodstock, along with the Coffee House stage. This is an event you won't want to miss. For more information and tickets, go to 12stepmusicfest.com. That's the number 12stepmusicfest.com. Or call 305-296-4726. Call now while space is still available.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. Now back to today's show. John Hollis, it's Rockers in Recovery, Sunday night, three-hour show, and of course, we're hanging out here on WNN 1470 AM. I want to thank everybody for listening. We have our buddy Richard Stein on the phone. Richard is from All Florida Bail Bonds, and if you get a chance, check out the HolisticLifestylesRadio.com website, and there is Intervention Through Bondsmen. It's a new link on the right-hand side. You got to check it out. Does it make sense? Listen, we've all been there. We all know the deal. And we're usually the first ones, myself included in my past behavior, saying, yo, Mom, come and get me. I promise I won't do it again. And the next
thing, those phone calls.
Oh, yeah, digging me out of the trenches, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my mom was very tough. And no, you can stick it out. You put yourself in there, and you can get yourself out now.
I was a dope fiend. I was an absolute dope fiend. And it took them years to figure it out and thousands of dollars. And it can stop with a guy like Richard because he can say, hey, listen, wait a minute. You know, there's some things we can do. And, Richard, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's an amazing thing when you think about it because, you know, most people, when they're in that situation, especially when little Jimmy, because I used to be little Jimmy, when little Jimmy gets in his first problems, you know, gets picked up with a little bit of reefer, a little bit of coke, and next thing you know, everybody gets upset and they want to get him out right away because they don't want him sitting in there. And they continue to do that over and over again. And you and somebody like yourself at All Florida Bail Bonds, you can actually, you know, put some parameters in place where if he decides not to get the help, you can put him back in, right?
Exactly, yeah. We have full arrest authority in the whole continental United States. You know, and it's a pretty good tool because it gives the family more leverage, more gall to make sure that their loved one gets the help that they deserve.
Well, yeah, and here's the amazing thing, because Richard, long before the bondsman idea came up, Richard was a sheriff. He was a deputy sheriff for BSL, correct?
I actually worked with the sheriff's office for 6.5 years, yeah.
Six?
Been there, and then now I'm taking him back out.
So 6.5 years, but during that 6.5 year time period, there's some questions here. You've seen it all.
Yeah, I've seen a good share of things.
So would you say that the majority of, in that 6.5 years, and even up until now, because you've been doing this for 13 years now, correct?
Correct.
So between your 6 years and your 13, we're talking you've been around the industry going on 20 years.
That's correct.
Now, in that 20-year time period, would you say that the majority of your offenses are in some way related to alcohol or drugs?
It is true, yeah. It's an unfortunate circumstance, but, yeah, that statistic is pretty accurate.
Now, and that goes from everything from somebody that is in a marital dispute to a person that gets picked up for a DUI to a person that could commit an offense under the influence. Doesn't have to be caught with in possession. It could be somebody that's in a blackout and does something that they probably didn't want to do.
Exactly. I bonded out people that were just, you know, too dozed up on Xanax bars, and they've either gone into a screened-in patio of somebody else's property and get charged with burglary, or they're in the back of a taxi and they fall asleep in the back of the taxi and they get charged with, you know, battery or trespassing or something. It's very unfortunate. There's lots of tools, people like myself, that can help out, you know, and give people the guidance and counseling that they deserve. We also have a really good rapport with the jail staff and the courthouse and the judges. And we actually have also an affiliation with other programs like First Step and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's very good to choose a good bondsman, somebody that can be on your side that can help you instead of just making that buck. They're going to really be there to help you through and through.
And I love the fact, and I mean, there's this other thing, and you've probably seen it out there, folks, that, you know, there's organizations out there that will offer sober escorts, okay? And I got to tell you that if I had my choice between some of the sober escorts that I've seen out there where you can actually, if you're going somewhere and you need an escort to go with you,
mm-hmm.
let's say you're going to, you know, a party on South Beach that you have to be at. It's a business thing.
Right.
Or let's say you're going to a premiere, you know, whatever, and you have to be there, but you want to feel a little bit more secure. They have these sober escorts that you can call. And I got to tell you, I've seen so many sober escorts that I've seen Richard. And if I was going to go with somebody, I'd go with Richard.
Thank you.
You know, because I got to tell you, there's two things that come into play here. Not only does he understand the program aspect of it, not only does he understand that the first one's the one that kills us, he also is huge. You don't want him knocking at your door.
Yeah, he's a guy you definitely don't want banging at him.
Yeah, you don't want him banging
at 3 a.m.
No, you don't want that.
For sure.
No, I think we've got a good idea, though. I think we need to start 1-800-DIAL-A-SPONSOR.
Richard would make a great sponsor.
He would.
Actually, you know something? It was amazing thing. Me and Lori went in, and we sat down in his office, and we talked with him, and we chatted with him for a little while. And I can understand that he understood, you know, because he had been there. Not only... You know, not that he's in recovery, but he understood because he spent 20 years in law enforcement dealing with people like us 90% of his life.
You know what I say is good, though, is that after spending all that time, instead of, like most people, becoming disenfranchised or hateful toward addicts, you actually, now you're working to help them out, which is, you know, a rare flip of the coin.
Exactly, yeah. You know what? It's the people, too. They just have problems like, you know, like anybody else, and... You know what, everybody deserves a chance. Sometimes people get a second chance, even a third chance. But, you know, people deserve help, and that's just the way that human nature should be. Instead of forgetting about your neighbor, you really should go help them out.
I'm glad you said that, because let's look at the other parameters that are out there, okay? You know, the addiction thing is one thing, but there's also the greed component out there, too. You can have no addiction issues and just have a greed issue and end up in a lot of white collar situations because of that greed issue, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So you see, I'm sure between all of the deadly sins that are out there, the character defects, as you would call them,
mm-hmm.
the character, you see them all, you know, just blazing.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything from racketeering, I've bombed the people out for. Kidnapping, things that doesn't really have to be drug related, but yeah, there's a pretty good rainbow of crimes going on out there. It's unfortunate.
And when you look at somebody to bond them, and you look at, do you take into consideration their history before you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely will. And then, you know, it depends on their history and you know what kind of trouble they've been in. And that'll also depend on, you know, what kind of collateral I'm going to take and if I'm even going to do the bond. I still do turn down bonds just because if I don't have a good feeling about the person, then, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to take the risk. It is still a business. But once I do bond them out, I try to do everything I can to help them out.
And there's, you know, when you look at the big picture of your business, you know, I know for me, and I'm only going to speak from my own personal experience, is that, you know, I was full of crap. You know, so the bottom line is that I was lying to everybody. You know, if you want to know if an addict's lying or not, watch their lips move.
There you go.
So the bottom line is for me is that, you know, when I went into a situation like that and people were trying to help me, I didn't want to be completely honest because if I was completely honest, you know, I might get the help I need. I was always in fear that if I, you know, told the truth, then, you know, what would happen, that type of thing.
Right.
And I came to find out that I was just a boogeyman in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see that change happen with people? Have you bonded people out and had them go through the process? And, wow, you know, you see them 2 years later or 4 years later or 10 years later, and there they are, clean and sober.
You know, the funny thing is that you say that because it is, you know, when you try to be a positive role model, you try to guide people and help people in the right direction, and try to assist them and make them, you know, not feel like, you know, they felt like they were in jail, which usually is a little, you know, a lot less than human. But, you know, when you make them feel like the people that they should be and that they deserve to be treated, it does come around. I still get Christmas cards from people I bonded out years ago. About 3 weeks ago, I got a postcard with a picture of two twin babies from a client of mine that I bailed out, and I arrested twice and bailed them out and arrested them just because he had such a bad drug problem. But he knew that my persistence was there to help him, and in the long run, he sent me a card of his brand new baby twin girls, and I thought that was real. I was very touched about that. So yeah, it does come around.
And you see, I call it, you know, I don't know what your personal belief is, but I call that like God's fingerprints all over it, you know.
There you go.
And we get to in our lives today see those things unfold in front of us, and they're amazing, and they're gifts, you know. But the good news of this is that the person that's being helped, that person that sent you that picture of the two twins, is a new person today.
Yeah, he is a new person, and the greatest thing about it is he attributes his success to a lot of the push and a lot of the assistance that I've been able to provide for him, and that was very touching for him to acknowledge that to me. You know, and I'm just a regular bail bondsman in the industry, but you know, I'm trying to make a difference, and I'm glad that people recognize that I have done that, and I feel really blessed and honored that he made me a part of his circle of people sending me that postcard. I thought that was very nice.
If you've never heard of Richard Stein, you have now. And All Florida Bail Bonds is located in Oakland Park, Florida. And the phone number you can reach them at is 866-ALL-BAIL, and you can also reach them directly at 954-565-2424. And, again, the name of the organization is All Florida Bail Bonds, but let me ask you a question. There is no, like, boundaries here, right? You can bond just about anywhere in the States.
Yeah, definitely. With my insurance company that we're backed by, I'm affiliated throughout about 28 to 30 states. I can bail somebody out just about anywhere, and not only anywhere in Florida, but also anywhere in kind of the United States.
So if you're listening to the show on the streamers across the country, you have a loved one that maybe got locked up over the weekend. Maybe they're sitting in a situation and you don't know what to do with them. I ask you to just give a call to Richard because he can give you some parameters for the intervention, because the intervention can help and he can begin that process to be able to get him in front of the courts or her in front of the courts to get the help that they need, and at the same time be able to let the courts know that there's an issue with substance abuse, correct?
Absolutely, 100% correct.
So when you go out and you – let's say a family wants to do this, and you go and you bond the person out. How many times have you heard from the person that you're bonding out, thanks, but no thanks? I'm sure you've never heard that, right?
No, you know, a couple times here and there. There are some people that are just not being able to see the light, even though they've been to jail. They still don't, you know, see the light through the tunnel. So, yeah, there is some resistance at that point. But, you know, in the long run, the persistence helps out when you treat them right and try to give them the assistance and the guidance, and in the long run, it does work out.
So in your experience at this point, if you knew of somebody that was, let's just take the parameter right now, because one of our biggest things that we go through, and especially in when you look at addiction, is right now, you know, if you're reading a lot about addiction, you'll start to see that the new generation of addict is the kid between 13 and 19 or 20 that is actually not going out to cop heroin on a street corner like we did back in the day. They're actually getting it right in their own medicine cabinets. But now here's the problem with this, folks, is that if they decide to take 5 or 6 or 10 Oxycontins out of their mother's container and put them in her pocket and then walk down the street with it, that's a trafficking and offense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you get picked up, you're trafficking in opiates, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yep, and that's something that Broward County has definitely been able to put a nail in the coffin on that one. They're definitely cracking down on the pill mills and everything that are you know, possessing these kinds of narcotics and trying to do what they can to put a lid on that. But, yeah, it's very serious. And you don't even if you have people that are listening to the show and they're on prescription medication, I bail out people all the time that just put one or two pills in their pocket because who wants to carry around that pill bottle. If you're going to do that, try to get a paper prescription or something, or put the pill bottle in your car or something, because people are going to jail that really don't really deserve to go to jail.
Because they just happen to put one or two in their purse or in their pocket and then bring the bottle with them that has their name and their information on it.
Exactly. Yep. So many good people are getting positive. You know, if they're having a prescription of Xanax and they have a panic attack and they just want to keep a pill with them, you know, they keep a pill with them. But they're getting arrested for having these pills without their prescription. So my advice to people that are in that situation is try to get a paper copy of it, keep it in your wallet, keep it in your purse.
And what would you say that the youngest person you've ever had the bond is?
Well, the youngest person I would probably say is probably 17, 18 years old. Anything less than that would be a juvenile, and they wouldn't be a bond type of situation. But yeah, 17, 18 years old, they're bonding out.
And it's, would you say that, again, we'll bring it down to the statistic of it all, would you say that it's, you know, 9 times out of 10 it has to do around the drug issue?
It definitely does. Yeah, I would probably say at least, you know, 7 or 8 out of 10 is going to be, you know, alcohol or narcotics related issue.
And how do you find the parents at that point? Are the parents open to having you, you know, let them know that this is just the beginning?
Yeah, they're usually open to some type of education, especially my background. I try to, you know, assist them, make them feel comfortable, and try to give them a little bit of education when I speak to them, and make them feel comfortable and make them, you know, get a little knowledge, because lots of times they were never raised on that type of situation, you know, having somebody go to jail is something even totally new to 40, 50-year-old parents. So, you know, you can never be too old to learn a lesson. I'm glad I can try to guide people in the right direction as well.
Now, through the process of the last 13 years, we've kind of touched on the bail end of it. We've kind of touched on, you know, the sober escort end of it. You also, I understand, do security for different events too, correct?
Correct. I am licensed and insured for armed and unarmed security, bodyguard situations, and things of that nature.
And what are, you know, like, give me an example of some of the events that you've done in the past.
I was actually with another deputy buddy of mine who was also a pilot, and we had the pleasure of escorting John Travolta around. This was a few years ago. John Travolta to do a couple different things in Dade and Broward, South Beach, and over in the beach area, just doing a couple different things, and that was a lot of fun. He's really a good guy. Other type of security events, we've done event security like at the Broward Convention Center, where we just were presence to have more, you know, more eye presence of security to try to keep, you know, keep the visual of law and order. So there is a lot of aspects that are at our disposal.
Great. So it is an all-in-one type of thing where you're able to do a lot of different things because of the sheriff background that you started with, correct?
Exactly. And I also possess different tools of the trade of private investigations, trying to do anything from, you know, domestic related surveillance to corporate fraud situations. So we also can help out in that aspect.
So let me ask you, and we're going to have to go to a break, but let me ask you the last question of the night. Is there a particular situation that you will not bond for?
No, you know, as long as the money's right and I'm secure with the bond, I will pretty much do whatever needs to be done, because unfortunately there's a business, and if I don't do it to pay my bills, somebody else will.
Absolutely.
But I will just make sure that I'm secured and I'm not going to lose my butt on it.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Richard, for being on with us tonight. And, of course, if you've been listening to the show, All Florida Bail Bonds, and you can reach Richard at 954-565-2424. You can also call 866-ALL-BAIL from anywhere in the United States. Is that correct?
That is correct. And if you also want to give out my website address, www.thebestbailbondsman.com.
Thebestbailbondsman.com. I love it.
An awesome site,
yeah.
Man.
You like
awesome.
That? It's almost like the best holistic lifestyles radio network.
There you go.
.com. Richard is, of course, I'm going to formally introduce, he is one of our new sponsors. And he makes, and along with all of the rest of the sponsors, make the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network and Rockers in Recovery rock on with their support. And I ask you that if you're in a situation to, of course, help us with making the phone calls to the people that help us with support. So I thank you for tuning in tonight and listening to Richard and Richard Stein with All Florida Bail Bonds. And Richard, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Had a great time.
All right, man. We'll be back right after this little clip and then some commercials. And we'll be back, say, about 4 or 5 minutes. Just hang out.
On 1470 AM and the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show Network. Join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or go to holisticlifestylesradio.com. Stay tuned for more Rockers in Recovery right after this message from our sponsor.
Palm Partners Recovery Center. The mission of the Palm Partners Recovery Center is to provide the highest quality care within our alcohol and drug rehab center at a reasonable and affordable cost. Palm Partners Drug Rehab Center and Alcohol Rehab Center utilizes state-of-the-art neurobiological strategies, relapse prevention techniques, and 12-step recovery programs with health and wellness components. Drug dependency, alcohol addiction, and other forms of chemical dependency are chronic manageable diseases, and you don't have to live with them. Palm Partners Drug Rehab Center believes that providing expert alcohol treatment services, as well as holistic drug rehab services, and affordable alcohol rehab counseling guided by a simple principle that if we do the right thing for the right reason, we help our patients experience recovery as well as become successful in life. Call us today at 877-711-4673. That's 877-711-4673. It's not too late to find help.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
InTheRooms.com is the number one free online social network for the global recovery community. InTheRooms.com is a safe and secure place to find old friends and make new ones, featuring online chat and blogs. You can create your own group, listen to speakers, read a daily meditation, catch up on recovery news, and much, much more. At InTheRooms.com, you get connected, stay connected, and connect with others in the recovery community around the world. InTheRooms.com, where social media and recovery merge. www.intheroom.com. That's InTheRooms.com.
It's time once again for the third annual 12-Step Music Fest, November 4th to the 7th, hosted by comedian Mark Lundholm with Natural Habit, Blackfinger, Thorn Alive, Chuck Negrone, Chillbillies, Dave Aaron, Big Bubba Mac, Ben, and Don Wilder, with special guest Artie Cornfield, the father of Woodstock, along with the Coffeehouse stage. This is an event you won't want to miss. For more information and tickets, go to 12stepmusicfest.com. That's the number 12stepmusicfest.com, or call 305-296-4777. 726. Call now while space is still available.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine.
Wine.
remember bouncing up and down on the bed to this.
We all bounced up and down on the bed to this one.
Yeah. I remember 1971 and 72 with little Susie Thompson. Me and her bouncing on the bed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was six.
Well, no. There's always later in life. See, you can make sweet love, though.
Chuck was off the chain the other night. Actually, he was. Yeah, what a great interview.
It was. We actually got a couple of calls when we rebroadcasted it the other night, too.
Did you?
Yeah, they were. We want to get on the air with Chuck. Show, but maybe next time.
It was cool. Had a good time with him. You know, and the amazing part was is that he really got into details about what happened.
He did, and it was really great to see him just open up on that.
I mean,
not a lot of people do.
No. No, and I mean, he talked about a lot of different things. He talked about, you know, how it all began and, you know, the insanity of it all and the crash and, you know, and even he was honest enough to talk about, you know, he was like 10 years into recovery and he went through some anger issues and resentment issues and he dealt with those things. And I'll tell you, man, just a great guy. And we had a great interview. So I'm really glad to, of course, be here tonight on WNN 1470 AM. And, of course, the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. We're rockers in recovery. We're rocking out and we're hanging out tonight. And we're going to have a show, of course, in regards to addiction, in regards to some music that we're going to play. And, you know, rockers in recovery, somebody asked me on Facebook yesterday. And they were like, hey, is all the music that you play somebody that's in recovery? And I'm like, no. See, I'm a rocker in recovery. Doesn't necessarily mean that they are. But I can tell you this, that the people that we have on are people that, of course, either support recovery or are in recovery. And, of course, we look forward to having people on, and like people in the past, like Jeff Casey from Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, who supports recovery, and, of course, many other folks along the way that we've been able to hang out with, and they support recovery. They're not necessarily in recovery, but they definitely support recovery because they've had family members die from it. ML3 from out in Seattle, both of the folks from that band, not in recovery, but support recovery because they watched their parents die from addiction. So there's a lot of different ways that you can be a rocker in recovery. Now, for me, I get into the fact that I'm sober and clean today, and I get to be able to put on an old blues song. I get to put on an old Clapton tune. I get to listen to, you know, some Muddy Waters, or I get to listen to the Allman Brothers, or I get to listen to some of the music that I grew up with and really loved and appreciated before I started using, and now I get to enjoy them all over again, just like I had never heard them before sometimes.
It ends up like that a lot, too. I mean, there's a lot of music, especially music that I play now,
mm-hmm.
that I played, you know, 10 years back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started
that's
using
years
and
after,
dropped
that's
it.
Alvin Lee.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Started using it and dropped it. And then now that I'm, you know, clean and started picking up the guitar again, I'm going back and I'm like, man, why did I not write this song? That was so good back then.
I think that when you look at the big picture of music as a whole, you know, I remember, you know, for Rally for Recovery, Chris D just walked in. Chris, what's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Did they win today? By the width of a goalpost. They sure did.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go to that in a minute. It was this past September. It was a year ago. This past September. Me and Chris were sitting at the Rally for Recovery in Miami. It was put on by In the Rooms. So we're down at Rally for Recovery, and Eric Burden is playing. Now, you got to remember, in 1987, I seen Eric Burden and the Animals all of one song because that's all I can remember. I woke up at the end of a concert, at the end of a 2.5-hour concert under a chair. And the only reason I think I woke up was because somebody yanked me out from underneath of it to get in the car and go home. But one song. So what Rally for Recovery did for me was I was listening to the music. I was like, wow, man, you know, this is exciting to be able to see a show and remember it.
Absolutely.
I can remember a show, and I can go. I went to the Clapton Crossroads Guitar Festival. I got to tell you, what a treat. And when I got there and I watched, You know, I couldn't watch all the bands because I was baking out in the sun for like 15 hours. But I got to tell you, it was incredible, an incredible, incredible show. And you get to see these things through sober eyes that you don't necessarily get to see, you know, when, or even stop to think about when you're using, because you're just, you know, so into the use that you don't stop and think about, you know, good times that you can have. I am really grateful that Rockers in Recovery has brought to me an understanding that I can have fun, I can be in recovery, I can listen to great music, present and past, and enjoy life to its fullest today. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've gone to plenty of concerts before and after, and I enjoyed them more sober than I did absolutely loaded. I don't remember it as much. I'm sure at the time, though, I probably thought I was having fun.
We were just talking about that a little while ago. Yeah.
So, but, you know, the ride home is always a lot nicer. As a matter of fact, at that Rally for Recovery, I drove home a friend of mine, his name's Brian, and dropped him off at his palatial suite just north of that place in, on the outskirts of Overtown.
Yes.
And he's
yes, the wonderful, wonderful.
He was clean that day, thank God, but didn't stay clean, and now he's serving his time to the.
How much? That's I remember this story. And he was clean at the time. Decided to pick up, and he's away for 4 years or 5 years now.
No, he got I think about 2.5 years.
And if you're,
he gets out, I think Christmas time next year.
So, listen, you know, we're all one day at a time, and one drink away from a drunk, or one shot away from, you know, a jail sentence. The bottom line is that if you're out there and you're listening tonight and you need help, you've already heard, of course, Richard Stein on, and you know that Richard Stein's there, and he mentioned Chris, by the way, and he talked about a lot of different things that can take place for people to get help. But also, if you are looking for help, you can call. I'm going to give you a phone number. If you want to call Collect and you're in jail, feel free to call Collect, but if you're calling for a three-way, you're calling because you want commissary, not the phone call you want to make to me. But if you want help, we can get you to help. It's 954-946-4313, and Chris, what's your number that they can call you Collect at?
You can call First Step at 954-942-7414.
One more time.
954-942-7414.
What do you think of the we were just discussing the Keith Richards situation. Keith Richards of Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Transfusion?
All over the place, dude. I mean, he's been all over with this new book of his.
Okay.
And, you know, 70-plus years old and still putting off the image that, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll is okay. Now, I mean, let's think about it. That error of who he grew up with. If you look at the death rate from that time frame, I can name like 15 of them right off the top of my head right now that addiction took. So here's a guy that's 70 years old still promoting that garbage. What do you think of it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, and for that's probably what every junkie like me aspires to be. That's, you know, I could just be like him. Life would be great. You know, every year just get a full transfusion. I got a new set of blood dripping through me, and more wreckage I can create for myself. And deep pockets. We need to always include that part. And the problem is, a person like me and probably 98% of the other using world, deep pockets are not something that we can get used to. And if I did come into cash, it was gone fast because I was everybody's best friend.
And
the light up to the party until it ran out.
It's amazing.
And then there was this problem that I would have. It's called too much month at the end of the money. You know?
Too much week at the end of the money.
Too much week.
Yeah. You know, it's, I don't know, man. I thought to myself 2 years ago when I heard about the coconut tree incident that I said to myself, and it was a year ago, wow, maybe he's going to get the idea that, like, drinking, you know, rum and climbing up a coconut tree down in the tropics and then diving out of it and missing the water and hitting the ground.
Oh, gravity.
could be
one of the Wile E. Coyote moments.
Yeah, yeah, could be something that you want to check out. That there might be an issue with that.
Yeah, I would definitely say that if you're climbing up coconut trees and diving and missing the pool, you definitely need to check on your situation there. All right, so Rocky, you're not the flying squirrel.
Well, you would think that that would be like the touchstone of your spiritual experience that would send you in another direction. I don't know. I should be one to talk. I had lots of opportunities. None of them were ready until I was ready. So he's
he doesn't have a pair of headphones, so he can't hear me.
Oh, he can't hear you. Ah, so you're going to
hear me. I'm
trying to, figure this out.
Sign language, but I can't hear.
Listen, you have to really appreciate it. If you just seen what happened, I thought, maybe something was happening behind the scenes I didn't know about.
Yeah, you ready for that surprise in the hallway? There's no cake and nothing jumping out of it, buddy.
But maybe, it was an old football player or something. Yeah. Old 70s.
Imagine being down there to see the end result of missing the pool. Right?
Oh, my God, man.
You're like Rodney Dangerfield doing his triple Indian,
back to school.
I just watched that the other night.
We were actually having a discussion on guilty pleasure movies, and that came up. It's one of those movies you never own, but you'll always watch every time it comes on Comedy Central.
It's the same thing with Animal House.
That was another one that popped up. Nobody ever owns it, but they'll always watch it.
Yeah. There's nothing like Belushi turning that bottle of Jack Daniels upside down that you can identify with. If you're a drunk, you can identify with that. He's at the end of his rope. They're throwing him out of his place. And what was his first? His first reaction to all that.
Grabs a bottle as the case goes by. My man.
I can relate to that as an addict. No kidding. Listen, we got to go out to a break. When we come back, we got Chris D in the house with us. We're going to talk recovery. We're going to talk about some other issues. Most importantly, we're going to have some fun. So hang with us. We'll be back right after this message.
Was a moment in time, voice guitar and the rap, rock and roll the machine, singing to watch my dream. It was my first self-affair. Jackie Wilson lifted me higher.
Listening to Rockers in Recovery on 1470 AM and the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show Network. Join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or go to holisticlifestylesradio.com. Stay tuned for more Rockers in Recovery right after this message from our sponsor.
It's time once again for the third annual 12-Step Music Fest, November 4th to the 7th, hosted by comedian Mark Lundholm with Natural Habit, Blackfinger, Thorn Alive, Chuck Negron, Chillbillies, Dave Aaron, Big Bubba Mac, Ben, and Don Wilder, with special guest Artie Cornfield, the father of Woodstock, along with a coffeehouse stage. This is an event you won't want to miss. For more information and tickets, go to 12stepmusicfest.com. That's the number 12stepmusicfest.com. Or call 305-296-4. 726. Call now while space is still available.
When you're ready for a major change,
Change. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
WWNN, Pompano Beach. InTheRooms.com is the number one free online social network for the global recovery community. InTheRooms.com is a safe and secure place to find old friends and make new ones. Featuring online chat and blogs, you can create your own group, listen to speakers, read a daily meditation, catch up on recovery news, and much, much more. At InTheRooms.com, you get connected, stay connected, and connect with others in the recovery community around the world. InTheRooms.com, where social media and recovery merge. www.intheroom.com. That's InTheRooms.com. The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifeChallengeRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Hollis.
Hey, hey. We're back. Good to be here.
Always.
And we got, of course, I was going to say Keith Day, but it's Chris Day.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. Chris Day from the First Episode House is with us. I was sitting here reading this thing on, of course, our boy, you know, Keith, that we've been talking about. It says here that he hasn't stepped in Jagger's dressing room for 20 years.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you think? Yeah, yeah. Think Jagger might not.
That's a little weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Why would you not step into his dressing room?
And maybe because like he might tell you what you want, don't want to hear.
Ah.
Like the truth.
Yeah. Listen.
You get jealous
Keith,
of a 22-year-old
guy. Keith, you keep falling out of coconut trees, you're going to ruin the bed.
He may have gotten upset about Richard's 20-year-old bride.
Yeah, you think? I think it was Snort and his father that really got everybody upset.
You want to run that by me again, baby?
I was off the chain. Off the chain.
Yeah?
You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, listen to this.
I must have missed that memo.
2 years ago, Keith Richards made a decision that his father had passed away. He was going to take the ashes, and he mixed it up with a little heroin, snorted it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I guess that's the gift that keeps on giving.
I'm telling you, man, when you think about, that's like going any lengths to get high.
Any lengths.
Yeah, and incorporating your family.
Spooky, dude.
Spooky. Very spooky. Hey, Rush to be honored with Legends. Legends of Live Award. Nice.
Yeah.
They also got a new CD out right now that's pretty impressive. Get a chance to listen to it. And these guys are actually on their game. You know, they don't have 40-year addictions.
Okay. There's social medicine out there. Right? Mom's the word.
New that's classic it. Album, DVD, a must-have for serious rest fans.
To play drums like, no kidding, you have to have to be jacked on something or so healthy, you know.
Let me tell you something. Neil's a bad dude, man. A bad dude. And if you've never seen Neil in concert, you got to go just see that one time. Because, you know, you walk out and you think to yourself, just how did that happen? It's like being hit by a truck, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So here's what we have tonight. We got, of course, you know, the understanding that anytime that, I don't know about anybody else, but anytime that there's an issue in my life, I'm usually the one in the equation. It means that anytime that there's a situation, I either have a choice of dealing with it with old behaviors and old attitudes, or I have a new way of life. And sometimes I choose the opposite. Sometimes I don't choose the right thing. Sometimes I say, well, you know, maybe I know what's best. And usually I got to beat myself up for a little while to say, okay, guys, what do I do? And it's okay. You know what I've come to find out is that it's okay to go through that process. Jack Kelly, a good friend of mine, just said to me not too long ago, he goes, John, you know, you can make a U-turn anytime you want. So I just, you know, I appreciate the fact that I think, you know, by the grace of God, a day at a time, I'm coming up on 4 years. And, you know, that's kind of a whole lot of time when I sit around with guys like Chris and, you know, Richie Supa and Ricky Bird and all the guys that have these multiple years that...
Well, if I got to stop you right there, buddy. I have to stop you.
Wait a minute. But I understand that I get a lot from you guys because you guys are teaching me that you're still nuts after all that time. You still have the capabilities of being nuts. You know?
It tells us in one of our, you know, in one of our books of literature there, the Big Blue One, that, you know, we would be unthinking if sobriety was enough. Like the guy that comes out of proverbial storm cellar. Believe me when I tell you that just because you're not drinking and drugging doesn't mean you can't get yourself in all kinds of jackpots.
Absolutely.
And what am I going to do? Well, you know, at least I'm not using. He just like bankrupted the company because you're a moron, you know, or something like that. Well, at least you're clean. Oh, that's great. So that means you did it a lot slower than you would have if you were using.
Well, and I'm glad that you're looking at it from that point of view, because here's the reality. If you've never dealt with issues before, and I started using when I was 12 years old, 11 years old, so I really never ever dealt with anything. You know what I mean? I didn't deal with nothing. So here I am. I'm dealing with everything. It's like brand new to me.
Well, John, you just made a statement, and I told you I had to stop you.
Mm.
And that is because I've known you for a while, and for you to have or coming up on 4 years is like me coming up on 30. Okay? It doesn't fit in the equation. You know what I mean? Funny. Well, it's the truth, and that's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Absolutely. And I am so grateful that it is a day at a time. I'm so grateful. But here's the deal, folks. You know, and, you know, the smoking. I got to tell you, the smoking end of it. I went to my first nicotine. Oh, I can't say it. I went to my first nicotine place this past week.
What, one of the meetings?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Such a revenge, yeah.
Always.
My man. So
that was my concern. I said, you know something? It took me 18 years of bouncing in and out of the other one. I mean, you know, I mean, it's driving me nuts. And I really want to make the decision to move forward with this because I just can't stand it anymore.
Well, let's look at the facts. I mean, it is by far probably the hardest substance in the world to kick. It's you know, because it's such a subtle addiction, and I think that it rivals alcohol for one central reason, and that it's because it's socially acceptable, and it is big. I mean, they're just not going to make tobacco illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's too much industry jobs and all the support that goes around that. And, you know, there would be, I mean, look at what happened back in the 30s, you know?
Well, and I think that the struggle end of it for me at this point is the fear, and like it was with everything else. You know, I'm seeing that fear. So I'm going to go to another one this week. I'm not going to make they basically were like, you know, are you ready to make another decision?
What's the first step say anyway? I'm just, you know, I'm aloe vera tobacco. My life is just a bowl of cherries. I'm a skeptic.
Hey, listen, here's my reality. You know, I was sitting in this room and I was listening, and I was hearing things like, you know, waking up, kicking up a lung. Waking up at 44 and being out of breath, going to the bathroom. You know, these were all things that, you know, like were hitting me. And I was saying to myself, wow, you know something? This is a reality.
No, it is. I mean, you know, that's one of my only vices that I have left. And I've been sitting here thinking about it, watching other people do it and either make it or not. Mm-hmm. Still actively playing competitive sports, and when I could run the third, now I can barely make first. So, you know, there's some merit in the idea that there is. And I mean, health wise,
you're 10 years older than me.
It's an honest program, John. You know, but I get to see. I envision myself walking down the hallways of the courthouse with one of them electronic freaking things. Hi, guys. the battery's out. What am I going to do? Let me plug this into a laptop and charge it up. Oh, my gosh. My bookkeeper has one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I know a lot of people. Hey, somebody I know, and I've known them for years, has been stopped for a year now.
Well, you know, it's like anything.
How to avoid me like the plague.
It's like any malady that we have in life. Stopping is not an issue. Okay.
Staying stopped.
There you go. Staying stopped. And how do we stay stopped? And that's where a process, be it through one that you would work on alcohol or drugs or smoking or some other form of obsession. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not proving to everybody you can do it by stopping one night or 2 days and being what we call restless, irritable, and discontent during that process until we can once, like they talk about it, gain that sense of ease and comfort that comes at once by reintroducing into our system whatever that is that was what we were obsessed over or that addiction. And, you know, so that's where the process, the 12-step process or any process that brings us from a place of admitting the problem and then finding that solution and working towards it. And that's where the power comes in.
Woody Giesman said it best, and I was talking with Woody when I was up in the Supergroup 2010. And Woody said that, you know, when you first get clean, you know, it's like, and you talk about it from time to time, it's like stepping your game up. You know, you get sober, you get clean, and, you know, you start to realize certain things that you need to change about yourself. Like, I wouldn't even thought this way 4 years ago. That was like the furthest thing from my mind. But now I'm starting to see the difference. Because I'm not using, because my life is a better life. And I can see that there's other things that I need to improve. And I start thinking about, like, the 11th step that says, seek to improve my life. Seek to improve my life with my higher power. And I think all of these things start to fall together for me. And I have to make some choices. What do you think?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought through what?
Not prayer and medication.
Darn. A different subject.
Prayer and meditation.
And meditation. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, seeking to improve is something we all aspire to do, you know, and through anybody in life. I mean, let's put the idea of recovery aside. We all want to better ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least that's sort of the plan. You know, we once we leave the bird's nest, we're looking to become better people in life. Or achieve goals and then set higher ones and get to those, something obtainable. And that's been the problem for this addict that people can identify with is that my goals were always like you know, Mount Everest high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here I am standing at the valley looking at 26,000 feet of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I am by nature a great starter and a poor finisher. And here I go again. You know, I've set something that people, lay people, go, are you kidding me? You don't have oxygen mask. How can you climb that mountain? I can get this. I got this. It's no big deal. Don't look too high from here, you know.
Yeah, I'm a true believer, and I'm sure you are too, because we pretty much have the same understanding of things, and that God doesn't give us much more than we can handle. I truly believe that, and
that's if we allow it to happen. Believe me when I tell you, He has got a sense of humor, and if we are at least striving to seek His understanding and His direction and guidance by way of teachings of others.
Mm-hmm.
Or from others, the process, whatever it may be, that allows us to better know Him and understand Him, and work in His consciousness. We get lost.
What Chuck said,
and He lets us. He lets us, and that's the thing. I mean, He sits back, and says, "You know what? You want to do it your way? Not a problem. I got you."
And I believe that if I take my will back, I'm done. You know what I mean? I believe that there's a, and when I talk about done, it doesn't have to be music. You know, Chuck Negron was on the other night, and he was talking about being 10 years clean and sober, and harboring resentments for 10 years while he was clean, with major anger issues at 10 years.
Stark raving crazy. Mm-hmm.
Stark raving sober. The bottom line is that when he was sharing that, I thought to myself, you know something? This is like a constant day-to-day, minute-to-minute vigilance of self. I'm always in collision with something or somebody else, and if I don't maintain my recovery as such, that means in all of my affairs, to the best of my ability, to seek what's best for not just myself, but my family and the people around me, and ask for direction and ask for support from people around me, this is a lifelong process. So there is no running up the ladder, ring the bell, or, complete the 12 steps and it's done.
Well, that sounded, you had a key couple words there, all my affairs.
Mm-hmm.
practice these principles and all. Well, no, wait a minute. Some of my affairs. Let me just the ones I choose to practice these, and the other ones, I'm still. And it talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
That there are certain things that I'm not willing to let go of yet, and through some practice that maybe that can happen little by slowly, but that is where you hear people say, oh, that's where your disease is out inside your door doing push-ups. Well, you know what, man? I go out my garage, not my front door. So I'm going to bypass that. He's at the door, let me open the door. Pow, pow, pow. That's nothing out there. The cops now.
Kick the door down.
Yeah. Let me get the garden hose and soak it. But
a gremlin.
You're on my lawn.
It's a gremlin. Don't get it wet.
And believe me, before my disease is right outside my door, because I can see the foot, the little gremlin-y thing, and I was looking underneath the door, cracking the door, through the shag carpet.
Yeah.
Getting
a rug burn on the side of your face. Been there.
Yeah. With the Venetian blinds clinked down.
Watching the shadows pass through the door.
Oh, my God. I was thinking about it. Actually, I was talking to my aunt not too long ago. We were talking about a family member. I don't know how this runs in the family. But then opening up the door and cocaine psychosis and firing a shotgun into a bush.
Wow.
Because
it moved.
The Invisible Bureau of Investigation was outside in the
bush. Yeah, there were many nights that I could remember being locked in my closet, putting stuff up my nose, because I thought the more I locked myself away, the more the voices would stop, because I kept hearing people outside my door.
But the reality of my life is that 4 years ago, it was funny because at the very end of my addiction, those psychosis were gone. Like, I was sitting on the side of Little River Club. I could have probably smoked a rock the size of this room, and it wouldn't have done anything. It wasn't affecting me anymore. It wasn't doing anything anymore.
And besides that, no one cared.
And no one cared at all. And most importantly, when I made that choice to move forward in a new way of life, I had to make that choice. Nobody else could make it. You know, I had some people try to help me along the way. A few. A few dozen.
We ran into you from place to place.
A few dozen.
You would just sort of materialize, and that was the thing. Yeah.
Somebody called me one time Beetlejuice.
Oh, God.
If you mention Hollis's name three times, he pops up.
It's so true.
We'll be back right after this message.
You are listening to Rockers in Recovery on 1470 AM and the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show Network. Join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or go to holisticlifestylesradio.com. Stay tuned for more Rockers in Recovery right after this message from our sponsor.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Becker & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
And we're back.
Wow, that was quick.
That was quick.
What'd you do on the break there, John?
Did you magically appear somewhere?
No, but I think he needs to call his smoking sponsor.
thrown under the bus.
Completely.
I told you I didn't make the decision, and I told him, listen, after 18 years in the other one, I'm not ready to make that choice yet. But I'll be back. I'll check it out.
Is that, the made the decision to turn your will and life over to care of Paul Molly? Only a quarter lung left.
Could end up like what's his name? Lemmy Kilmister. Talking like him.
Welcome. Welcome. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night that was texting me about the Phillies game. Of course, anybody that knows me knows that I like the Phillies.
Yes, I could say that you definitely love the Phillies. Yeah. The phone calls I got.
Yeah. I called Chris yesterday. I told him, listen, if we go to a game seven, I'm not coming in Sunday night.
Have these shows ready on staff.
Listen, I've been through Super Bowls. I've rolled through everything, but Phillies and Orioles, you know, for World Series birth.
Well, you know who else got sent to the golf course?
The Yankees.
The Rangers, of all people, sent the Yankees. And the Rangers have never, ever been to a World Series before.
Oh, boy, somebody's calling, eh? somebody loves us tonight.
Yeah, boy. You got to shake it up.
Shake it up, buddy. It could be Super Duper Cooper. Mr. Coop,
hanging out.
Like
you're teching or setting something up.
He's setting something up.
Yeah, I got Rocket on.
I'm
only from Rhetoric.
Let's talk to Rocket. Let's get Rocket. Rocket, you there?
I'm here.
Are you really there?
I'm not all there, but I'm here.
I'm in studio with Chris Day.
How you doing?
Yeah, do you remember Rocket?
Vaguely.
Rockets. Let me explain to you. Okay, Rocket was the guy. You talk about change, and you talk about change gradually over time. But when Rocket first came in, he had this, like, goatee and this, like, little beard that was really at a point, and it was multicolored. It was like a rainbow.
Really?
Yeah. And he was bald. Which really made for, like... By the way, the last time I seen you was a couple of weeks ago, and I meant to mention, are you growing hair back?
No, you just caught me on an off day, but I have the multicolored beard again.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, it's purple with a red stripe down the middle.
I think I'm going to have to race him because I've decided to grow my beard back out. If you've noticed, I haven't shaved in 2 weeks.
Me either. Hey, you know...
What's the topic on the radio tonight?
The topic is Keith Richards. The topic is change. The topic is seeking to improve.
Phillies losing.
The Phillies
we're talking
losing.
About Keith Richards, and we're talking about change. So it's a blood change?
Three for three. 1, 2, and 3. All of us have mentioned that tonight.
It's great, isn't it? Listen, where can I go for a transfusion?
Hey, you're running out of country.
They're running out of blood.
It's easier than getting recovered, man.
Oh, my.
Go ahead and change the blood.
Listen, me and Chris were just talking about that. You can stop, but it's the stay stopping that's the issue.
I battled that myself.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you. I mean, I just want to clarify a few things, okay?
Sure.
First thing is that you had a pretty good weekend, correct?
Yeah, I had a good weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. And in the meantime, we're getting ready to go down to 12-Step Music Fest, and you're going to be playing down to 12-Step Music Fest. You should tell everybody about what you're planning on doing at the 12-Step Music Fest and give us a little bit of a detail on, you know, what your, you know, song process is going to be down there.
Yeah, well, I'm totally psyched for this. Not only to play music amongst some great bands down there, for some great musicians and good people, but we have decided to do, you know, usually we throw a cover or two in our set. Well, not. We're doing one solid hour, nothing but rhetoric. And, we're psyched. So, you know, it's well rehearsed. We're going to break out a new song no one's heard. And, we're just going to do what we do. We're psyched to do it. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. We're going to kick it off with Slide. Just because.
Do you guys know what time you guys are going on yet?
Yeah, do you know what day?
We're going on it Friday, November 5th at 12:35, ending at 1:35.
I can actually make that one.
Cool. Actually, you'll be getting off just in time to go live with us because we go live at 2. Then we go live again at 10. So you're planning on hanging around, right? You're not just going to perform and dash, right?
We're staying for the whole thing. We're not leaving.
Okay, good. I didn't want you to perform and dash.
No, no, not us. We're hanging. We're looking.
Which is like Diamond Bash.
We're looking forward to this probably more than any of the shows we've done.
Have you ever dined and dashed?
Yes,
we all have.
There are a few Denny's I can no longer go to.
Well, for John and John's case, it's more like almost every hotel and motel up and down Biscayne.
You must stay here no more. You go now.
You go now.
You go now. I had this Chinese guy ask me one time, why you take my carpet, roll it up and put it on bed? I said, because there was a kilo under it. There's no kilo under there. You crazy. You go now.
The nose tells me differently.
I'm steering clear of this not politically correct conversation.
If you've ever tuned into our Sunday night shows, they are very little politically correct.
Oh, boy.
We're hunting for sponsors, and we don't need to, like, eliminate an entire race. I love Asians.
Listen, I'm just, giving it raw, like they gave it to me, and they gave it to me raw. Let me tell you, the Sun and, I can't mention the place, the Sun and Circle and Biscayne. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Not a, a vacation paradise.
Oh, Lord.
But we won't go there. No more. The other one, let me tell you, Miami Shores Motel. If you're looking for a vacation paradise just right down the street from every crack hole in the world, that's the place you want to stay.
Nice going, John.
Somebody from Canada is going to be listening to this. They're going to go there.
Okay,
and they're just going to be freaked.
Listen. Listen.
It's a one-stop shop. Listen,
I remember I had a buddy of mine come down from New York one time. His name is Chris, actually. He came down from New York. And he had no clue. Like, he had only talked to me on the phone. He had done business with me on the phone. So he really knew, he had no idea of what a freak I really was. So he gets down here and he brings the family.
How did somebody miss, the glaring deal?
Well, he couldn't see me over the phone. This is before video phone. It's before all of that. So he had no clue what he was getting himself into.
Oh, that's always fun.
So he comes rolling down with the family, and he's got the little bubble on top of the little minivan. And there we are driving through Little Haiti with the bubble in the minivan. And I'm telling them, hey, stop here. I got to pick up some money that somebody owes me.
Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
I think I was going, okay.
I had him out for 2 days. His wife was extremely pissed off, and he never called me again. I don't know why.
I can never figure out.
I was such a nice guy. I took him to all my spots.
So what if they said you take the car for an hour and I'm gone for 14 days? What's the big deal?
Hey, you got your car back.
It's funny you say that, because I remember the first brand new car I ever bought. Of course, it was illegal money, but the first brand new car I ever bought, I walked into a friendly Ford, and I walked through the door, and I seen this red Mustang, and it was a 1997. I think you've never seen a Mustang. I drove it up here at one point. But I go in, and I say, that's the one I want, and get the car. Not 2 weeks later, I run into the back end of a Metro Day Cruiser.
Ooh.
What are your thoughts?
Listen, if he hadn't stopped like that, everything would have been fine. It had nothing to do with me looking over my shoulder at a hooker.
Not at all.
But reality is that's the kind of stuff that we do. Here's my question, Rocket. How many times have we put ourselves in situations that later on down the road we, as active addicts, regret doing but take no responsibility for?
All of them.
Great.
Wow, it's like a flood of memories just came and passed.
So when you finally say, okay, I want to do something different, what is the first major thing through honesty that you have to do?
Yeah, you got to be got to be accountable.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, be accountable.
Now, is that an overnight matter, or is that something that, is, like, ongoing?
Well, it's, for me, it's totally ongoing because, I mean, when you fry, you know, 93% of your brain cells completely to death, I mean, the longer I stay sober, the more that comes back. And then I found my higher power to put them right back at the right time, and I'm able to not only be accountable, but in a lot of cases, at least with me, there's an amends process that goes right along with it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want to be one of those guys that is having experience through steps 9 and a half. You know, new car, some nice jewelry, but I still have unmade, unfinished amends, which to me is really nothing to do there. So, yeah, it's a process. It's probably a lifetime process, but yeah, accountability is not fun.
Yeah, Chris. No, you know, it's through my active addiction, I trained myself to not be accountable. You know, I had a golden excuse. I was loaded, and it was easier for me, and it fed to my addiction, the less accountable, because it created consequences for me to be able to run away from. And, you know, I would create wreckage. I'd have people after me. I would have something exacting a toll for what I've done. And there, right there, was my excuse to be able to continue to use. And I had to learn how to be accountable. I learned it through the process. I learned it through good sponsorship. I learned it through, finally, looking at how my father lived life. You know, I'm very fortunate. I still have my father with me.
Isn't it amazing? Because you're absolutely right. Because there's things now that I'm going through that I'm saying to myself, wow, the old man told me this like 25 years ago.
Mm. Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
And he laughs and hangs the phone up.
Okay. But at least, you know, I hate to listen, you know, it took a while, but we got there. And it's a day at a time thing. I truly believe that. Truly believe it's day at a time.
And Rocket said it so beautifully, too. I mean, talking about the amends process, whether it's in a direct amends, it also is that as we become accountable, we become responsible.
Hello?
Yeah. Echo.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm still here.
It sounds like you're like. It sounds like you're talking to somebody. If you, who are you talking to, Rocket? What's her name?
I'm not talking to anybody.
What's her name, Rocket? You can tell us the truth, Rocket. What's her name?
Nope, I'm outside all by myself, actually.
Nice. You're looking at the full moon?
It's not quite full. It was full yesterday, so there's a chunk missing off of it.
There's a little chunk off the top,
off the big cookie.
You guys ain't right.
Sounds like we went to the same place.
Oh, my God.
Just ain't right.
Just got to crack the end off the cookie.
Just ain't right.
Got to test it out first.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Be down the road a long ways in recovery and still have a sick mind. Isn't it great?
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah.
Hey, so when you talk about rhetoric, give me the definition of rhetoric.
Words and phrases that have no meaning or substance in one dictionary, and in the other dictionary it says the correct use of the English language.
Mm. Yeah.
So depending on what day, kind of day I'm having, depends on what kind of rhetoric I'm giving you.
It's one of the meaningless phrase days today.
I like that.
Either way, it's rather.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. It is good. So what made you come up with the band name Rhetoric? I mean, what was your ultimate thinking like? You know something? I've had Rhetoric my whole life. Let's just name it Rhetoric.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. There was a guy that I had helped get a job, and I was working in a phone room and I'm, you know, Boston, kind of a little bit of an aggressive closer kind of guy, and I used to use the word a lot all the time anyways, but I'm on the phone with this lady, and she's just rambling off. She give me every excuse in the book why she can't buy whatever it was I'm peddling on the phone, and I said, listen, lady, I really don't want to hear all your rhetoric. So my buddy falls out. He's never worked on a phone. He's only been in the room 2 days. He falls out laughing. So when we were having band meetings back in 2008, when the band was formed, and we had to just notebook sheets filled with names. Like my favorite was Short Bus. That was
Short Bus.
Yeah. And then I came up with another one. I think it was 7:34. That's what time I was looking. That's what time it was when I was trying to think of a name. And my buddy was there in the process when we were trying to get different feedback from people, like what should we name ourselves? And he just kept harping on Rhetor. He's like, it's got to be Rhetor. So finally, we gave up and just said, all right, we'll just do Rhetor.
After all his rhetoric, he finally followed through.
Well, it's got a ring to it too, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roy. You know Roy?
Bottom line, Roy?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. You know, let's get to the bottom line. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask that you come back in the future, and while you're down the 12-Step Music Fest, we want you to be a part of course, our live shows down there. Chris is going to be there.
Absolutely.
We're all going to be hanging out. It's going to be a fun time had by all. We're actually bringing Chris to Tech with us. It's going to be fun.
He's got a tent, though. We have the Taj.
Yeah, we got the Taj. Chris is staying in the tent. He's got to oversee the equipment. And, you know how that is.
We're actually doing a tent as well. We were going to do the RV. We did the RV last night for the show that we did in Homestead, but we decided to do the tent so it would be a part of the festival.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for your rhetoric on that information. I like it.
Hey, he's from Boston, man. Watch out.
He's from Boston.
He's from South Boston.
My God.
He's a Southie.
You know something? I got to tell you, it drives me crazy when I call up, you know. People with long-term recovering, they say, I can't come there because I'm, you know, watching a Patriot play football. Now, I won't mention the person's name.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Nudge, nudge.
I would never throw Chris D under the bus like that.
I must be the guy I just left. Just check the records, buddy. We're 5-1.
You don't follow the Patriots, do you, Rocket?
Of course I follow the Patriots.
My man.
Number one football team on the planet.
Absolutely.
I follow them.
Okay.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw them from the show?
I want to be just like Brady.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
Well, you know,
it's been over 30 years since the Dolphins have been to the Super Bowl.
Once.
Twice. No, twice. They've been
at
twice.
At least it's 3 and 6 years?
Yes.
That's right.
Are they still playing professional football?
you know, a schnooker today.
I was really going for them a couple of years ago when they were, just 16-1.
Mm.
I was really hoping for a perfect 17-0 week, or a 0-17 loss to perfect season.
Yeah, that would have been a perfect season. I was thinking that myself when they were 1-16 or whatever it was. It would have been a perfect season in reverse.
And who was it they beat? Oh, it was the Patriots.
That year.
It was the Patriots.
It was the one team they beat.
It was an overtime
mistake.
Overtime touchdown pass.
Make up whatever you got to say to cover it up.
You
still got beat by
over
the
here?
Dolphins.
Talking this garbage, trying to save that one loss. It would have been a perfect season. It would have been
internet.
A perfect lost season for the Dolphins.
New England. That was where we won the Super Bowl. So it must have been, if they did beat us, it was the last game of the season when we were already clinched the division.
It didn't matter.
First round
bye. You had the third stringers in.
Yeah, tell me all the excuses.
Oh, that was the year, by the way.
Tell me all the excuses. It's okay.
And for you, Rock, that's when Doug Flutie was the only.
Deep into the ground.
Well, we got to give the Dolphins a lot of credit. I mean, they gave us
come a long
welcome. Way. I mean, that's better than that. That was an awesome move for everybody.
And look how many records we've set against them. I mean, we did a touchdown pass, kickoff, return for touchdown, special teams touchdowns. And Doug Flutie kicks the only drop kick in modern history against you guys. He's saying, you guys.
Like, I like the Dolphins.
Yeah, seriously, when did we get wrapped into this?
I didn't get wrapped
into
this.
I'm the sci-fi guy, for Christ's sake. I don't know anything.
You guys started this.
Look on the bright side. You got Pop Sells up in the box. He's doing a great job for you, isn't he?
Oh, you guys are killing me. Actually, I'm an Eagles fan.
I'm going to start talking about old movies that nobody knows about so I can, you know, kind of throw you all under the bus. I'm just sitting here like Dolphins, couldn't care.
I'm going to be hearing about this in the courthouse all day tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, we're gonna go to a break, and now that we've heard this rhetoric from Rocket Man, we're going to ask him to come back later on. Thanks for calling us, Rocket.
Yeah, no problem.
Good. Hey, listen, we'll see you down at 12 Step Music Fest. Check it out, 12stepmusicfest.com. Hang out with us. We'll be back right after this message.
Rockers in Recovery on 1470 AM and the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show Network. Join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or go to holisticlifestylesradio.com. Stay tuned for more Rockers in Recovery right after this message from our sponsor.
It's time once again for the third annual 12-Step Music Fest, November 4th to the 7th, hosted by comedian Mark Lundholm with Natural Habit, Blackfinger, Thorn Alive, Chuck Negrone, Chillbillies, Dave Aaron, Big Bubba Mac, Ben, and Don Wilder, with special guest Artie Cornfield, the father of Woodstock. Along with the Coffee House stage, this is an event you won't want to miss. For more information and tickets, go to 12stepmusicfest.com. That's the number 12stepmusicfest.com. Or call 305-296-4. 726. Call now while space is still available.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
The Defending Your Money show on AM 740 WSBR with Dan Ascani is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and the business, defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. Let's spend drive time together defending your money. Listen to Dan Ascani and the Defending Your Money show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, you can always find it on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. on AM 740 WSBR and stream live and archived on www.ascaniwm.com and Blog Talk Radio.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit.
Back on the Clapton kick. I haven't played any Clapton in a long time, man.
Yeah. Always fun to have a little Clapton on.
Ah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have up on Facebook tonight that anybody that helps us pick songs, we would play on the air. We're going to do that next Sunday night. Because next Sunday night is going to, of course, be the night before the grand event at the 12-Step Music Fest.
You know what next Sunday night is?
What is it?
Halloween Day.
That's okay. We got Chris. Our jack-o'-lantern.
It's a get-to program, buddy. You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going
to do? I get to take my kids trick-or-treating.
Well, listen, let me explain something. The show starts at 10 for you.
Oh, man. I'm going to bring you back a couple of apples with razor blades.
Snickers with some cool acid.
Some of those extra strength Tylenol.
Nice guys.
All right, kids, let's all go down to the basement, and we'll see how many of you can take Tylenol PM and who can last the longest.
You ain't right, man.
Wow. Oh, no, I'm not right.
Sick boy, man.
Yeah.
Don't take
and
no
then,
candy
then
from
the next
him.
Week is... Music Fest.
And the Music Fest, 12-Step Music Fest, we're going to have a blast. Of course, you know, let me tell you a funny story. I get a phone call from one of our sponsors about a week ago telling us that somebody had called and left a 10-minute message on his voicemail. Did I tell you the story?
No.
And there was a 10-minute message on the voicemail stating that we really needed to have real recovery on this radio show. That we needed to talk like for consistently 3 hours about like the first and second and third step. And I got to tell you, folks, that...
You know what happens to those shows? They get thrown off
the
air.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Well, it's going to take me about 5 minutes for this gentleman that we can go through the three steps in 5 minutes right now.
By the way, you know, he said that, you know, he can, you know, of course, carry a message because... He has 30 years, and you know the guys that have 20 and 10 and 4, and, you know, don't really count. That's what he said on the
what?
Message. Yeah, that's what he said on the message.
You wouldn't have a raspy voice, buddy, by any chance?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Actually, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. But I got to tell you, I was like shocked. And of course, the gentleman that is the sponsor has been my sponsor, one of my oldest sponsors, like Chris, and he was laughing. So hard. It was, like, amazing. And he told me, he said, listen, you know, I just wanted to play you this because, you know, when you start getting hate mail, that's when you know everybody's listening.
Yeah, it's publicity, buddy.
So,
okay. Well, you just got to remember back to when Howard Stern started. Yeah, and he got real big on WNBC. People would, you know, call up. The most number one reason why people, you know, that hated Stern kept listening. I want to hear what he's going to say next.
What's he going to say next?
That used to be Howard and Don. They were a partnership. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and people hated Howard Stern, yet he had more listeners when he was hated than he does now that he's one of the most popular, I guess you can't call him a DJ anymore because he's no longer on standard radio.
Well, you remember that if you tune in next Sunday night, Chris D is going to be here naked. So
that would be the trick, not the treat. Oh, gosh.
What's that sound? Ernie, how are you been?
yeah, and you call me the sick, twisted one.
It's good to be twisted.
It is.
Listen, it's good to be sober. It's good to be clean. It's good to have another day free of the insanity and the torture that ran our lives. And most importantly, we have another day and another daily reprieve based on our spiritual maintenance. And today, we get to have fun with our lives, and we get to experience new things, and we get to have the ability to say I'm wrong, like I had to with my old English.
I was wrong, but it's not my fault.
Yeah, I was wrong, honey. No, you see, as part of the change aspect, you know, like you got to say, honey, I was wrong, and then you got to shut up after that. And just take whatever she says.
Because if you start explaining yourself, you'll talk yourself into being right.
Digging yourself a bigger hole. You're just making that hole a little bit deeper.
Absolutely.
With every word.
Now listen, after 18 years, she should have sainted. I figure.
I'd have to agree with that, yeah.
18 lovely years with Mr. Ellis.
She's not in jail doing life, killing you.
You know, Kathy. You know, Kathy and Steve. Kathy. I walked into IHOP one time, and Kathy yelled across to IHOP. Me and Lori had walked in, and we sat down. And Kathy yells across the room, "Hey, Lori, if you had shot him, you'd have been out by now."
So listen to the radio show, though. She could claim self-defense for your insanity.
Yeah.
They would have put that in the DSA file. You know what that is, right? Did society a favor.
Did society a favor.
Nice.
Yeah. Listen, folks, hang tight. Don't pick up no matter what. Mag letters have we don't get to use. And show up to life to the best of your ability. Plug in. Call your sponsor. Be a part of life again. Chris, any closing thoughts?
Wow. You know, if we have an idea of what the problem is, and we all know what the solution is, and we have to make a decision to choose between one of the two. We can't be fooling ourselves or others by saying that we are doing this, yet we are halfway out the door. It's either we're in or out. There's no in-between here. And, you know, how we show up will determine that.
So if you're going to bring somebody through the first three steps, what would you do, Chris?
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, especially when they're smarting from their last whatever, you know, the problem is pretty obvious. I can't stop. Don't know how to. And when I'm using, I don't want to. I really deep down inside want to be able to stop, but I can't find a source of strength in which to draw on that'll help me stay stopped. So the statement of the problem is what we are considering and agreeing to in the first step. And the solution is just that source of strength that we will get acquainted with and get to learn and follow its directives in which to stay stopped, which is the statement of the solution, which is coming to believe that a power greater other than ourselves can bring us to a place of reasonability or sanity. And then we have to make that choice. It's door number one, reconsider, or door number two, die. So it's either choose in or choose out. And it's just a decision. There's no action involved in that decision. We are making that statement that we want to go forward with the balance of the process. Okay, so if...
And what is the balance of the process?
Which is, well, in a 12-step program, it's steps 4 through 9, and then 10, 11, 12 are those places that we grow in. That we start to give back.
And we seek to improve.
Absolutely. So if we know what the problem is, and we know that our best abilities have always put us in that same jackpot, and our way just doesn't work, and we're seeking a better way, then we right now, in a matter of a minute or two, have agreed on the two first propositions. And we're ready to get to that place of, all right, I want better, I want more, I want in. How do I do it? I validate that by going through the balance of the process. I look at my grosser handicaps. I start to get clear on those, and I start to make right the wrongs.
Are you saying get a pencil?
Get a pencil or a pen so you can't erase it.
I like that.
Okay.
Folks, the first three propositions. You heard them tonight. Chris Day. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hang tight, because our third hour tonight is the Chuck Negron interview that we did Thursday night. And it was so good that we definitely wanted to bring it back to you tonight so that way you could listen. Chuck will be at the 12 Step Music Fest. It's going to be a great time had by all. 12stepmusicfest.com. Join us down there live. Me, Chris D, of course, Chris Behind the Glass, rest of the folks, then hang out with us. We're all going to be there. About 2,000 of us. Looking forward to
it.
It'll be a sober party.
Yeah. Peace.
Thanks.
WNN, Pompano Beach.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll-free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Centers, healing mind, body, and spirit. Let me tell you about the Sound Pillow. Sound Pillow helps many people in early addiction recovery who suffer from stress, anxiety, fear, and long sleepless nights to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming and soothing feeling for the mind's everyday distractions. Sound Pillow allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's soundpillow.com. And while you're there, check out the many endorsements from people and addiction treatment centers using the Sound Pillow. Don't lose another night's sleep. Call toll-free today, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. And let the healing begin. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's www.soundpillow.com.
My name is Charles Beckard. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckard & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Holland.
All right. It's
It's a beautiful night here.
And, of course, we're hanging out in studio. WNN 1470 AM. My name is John Hollis. I'm the host of the next hour here on Rockers in Recovery. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our world for the night. We are getting ready to have Chuck Negron on from formerly of Three Dog Night. He's going to be here on Rockers in Recovery. We're going to be going over the history, of course, of Chuck's bio and what he does and how he does it. And most importantly, of course, what he's been doing lately. And I've been around the industry for many, many, many years. And we look forward to, of course, having Chuck on with us. And, of course, you've been living under a rock for the last 4 months. We've been announcing it, and it's coming up. It's 2 weeks away. 12-Step Music Fest. Go to 12stepmusicfest.com. Everybody you can imagine is going to this. It's huge. They're sold out, pretty close to sold out right now. As far as the RVs are concerned, you're not getting an RV in there. Ain't happening. But as far as open camping is concerned, there is some spots still available. And, of course, you can go to 12stepmusicfest.com and check out more information there. 25 performing artists. Chuck is going to be one of them. We're looking forward to hearing about what's going to happen down there and how it's going to happen in his lineup. And most importantly, we want you to go down and have some fun. We're going to be there. We're going to be broadcasting live on the 4th at 2 p.m. and 10 p.m., 5th, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m., and also on Saturday from 4 to 6. So we're looking forward to doing a live broadcast from down there, as we did last year, and we had a blast. So we're looking forward to a lot more fun this year. And, of course, a lot of people that will be there, and friends of Rockers in Recovery, and, of course, friends of Dawn Wilder, who has, of course, Dawn has put her heart and soul into this, along with her partner Richard, to make this a great event for all who are attending. Of course, camp out, and, of course, 4 days of fun in the Florida Keys is always a good thing. I am here tonight to be able to hang out and give you an understanding of, you know, the comprehension of addiction is, you know, in some cases we get to have a new life. In some cases, people die. In some cases, people go to prison for life. I got to tell you, if you catch it early enough and there's a good position for you to say, hey, listen, you know, maybe there is something wrong with the way that I'm behaving and my behaviors, then you have a shot at making change. And sometimes, you know, you're not ready to do that. Sometimes you need help with that. And, of course, you know, you can go to holisticlifestylesradio.com, and there's lots of people there from free to places that would charge, but they're all there, and you can go right on the directory and find out more information. We also want to take this time to let you know that if you are in a position where you want to recover, there is hope, and that's why this show is on the air. Because, you know, if you're a musician or you're somebody in the arts, you know, when you stop using, you think to yourself, well, I'll never be the same again. Well, that's why we bring people on like Chuck, to let you know that you can be and will be even better of a person than you were before you stopped. And we're going to have Chuck on right after this introduction song. I think you might remember it. Yeah.
formerly of Three Dog Night. Chuck, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Man, I'll tell you what. I have to go back in my own, you know, past, because I was only, you know, I was born in 1966.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you that I remember me and my two little friends, Bobby and Susie, jumping on the bed to that song in 1972 or 73. But, you know, it's an amazing thing when you look over to history, and I was studying your history today, and it sounds like, you know, in the late 50s is really where you got bit by the musical bug. When did you actually pick up your first instrument?
Well, actually, I started singing with a friend who kind of was really the bug that hit him. Mm-hmm. And we put a group together, and that was in like 1957, and in 1958 we had a group, and we went in and him and I first went in and made a record, and then we formed a doo-wop group called the Rondells, and we went in and made some records.
And
57, 58.
So that beginning for you was more of the doo-wop singing end of it, and you really didn't get into the crash cymbal and all of that later until later on in life.
Yeah, right. It was more vocal, mm-hmm. vocal oriented. One of the guys played keyboards. One guy played sax. But we really basically just sang. And also, like we played the Apollo band backed us. And then in the clubs, they always had a band that, you know, you just went and told them what key, and they just, you know, faked it through the whole thing. Because, you know, the beginning of rock and roll, you know, the four chords, that was it, you know.
Yeah.
So they all knew the songs.
What was it, when I was looking through the past, the Rondells, you had the Rondells, and you had your first single you recorded your first single with the Rondells.
Yeah.
And it was actually performed at the world famous Apollo Theater.
Yes. Our managers were black, and one of the lady, the actual whose name was Negron, Gloria Negron, and Ricardo Weeks, who wrote "I Wonder Why" for the Belmonts.
Mm-hmm.
They got us into the Apollo, and you know, it was very, very, very exciting. A real lot of lessons learned that night, because we weren't really that welcome when we first came out on the stage. But you know, the music, we did a good job and really turned them around, because the Apollo was basically, you know, black acts, and but we ended up doing well, and most of the clubs we played were black clubs.
It's good to say.
You know, learned a lot.
At this point, it's good to say also that there was only one other performer that was able to do that. It was Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Buddy Holly. Yeah, and Buddy's hit was huge when he went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, you know, it was different back then. There weren't, you know, the internet, you pull him up. You know, the majority of the people thought he was black. You know,
mm-hmm.
they had no pictures. And so it was a big surprise to them.
Well, I think that when you look at the, and I love what you said, because you were quoted as saying during this time period that you understood that music really was able to bridge the gap, especially when it came to the ethnic situation back in those days.
Yes, differences, just about, you know, any difference, you know, in people, you know, race, color, you know, political leanings, you know, when, you know, you did some music that people liked, it broke down all those barriers and opened up a huge door of understanding and conversation between both sides that would not normally mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it was, music was a good thing. And sports does that, too. Sports is another thing that people, can share, no matter where they're from or what they, you know, what they look like.
And this all led, and I'm really glad that we're talking about this, because this all led for you to be very excited about your life at that point. It actually, everything that I've read, that you got very enthusiastic about life. You weren't just like, you know, a young teenager that had no purpose. You really started to get a direction and a purpose at a young age, and it brought you to the Brill Building. Is that correct?
Yes. Once again, I'll speak of this man, Bob Vitar. He's a boy. He was 15. He was the one with the dream. And, you know, of course, he knew about the Bill Building. He told me, he said, look, this is all the writers. He's this writer and this writer, and Barry Mann and Phil Spector. And you know, there's a new guy that's doing stuff. It's Burt Bacharach. You know?
a new guy.
So we went down there. And it was very, very, you know, exciting because the business was just booming, and they were looking for groups, and you know, we'd go to their offices and sing, you know, sing all day. We ended up making a bunch of different demos for writers, but only got one record out, and that was The Bells in My Heart, and actually the other side was Oh Baby, but it was a very exciting time because young people, for the first time, were in a business that was making as much money as any age group. Now these writers were in their teens, you know, Carole King and you know Barry Mann and Cynthia Wilde and Jeff Berry and Phil Spector. You know, they were very young.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also safe to say that that error of, you know, being in that time frame of being part of Tin Pan Alley and the Brill Building and all of that was very exciting back then because everybody was still into producing music in a different way back then.
Yes. You know, we'd go down there, we'd see Jackie Wilson go in the studio, and we'd just follow him, and Little Richard, we had a session after one of his, you know, his sessions, and yeah, it was all brand new, the sound of rock and roll, using Echo, and Les Paul, what he did, he turned the world upside down with the electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the multi-tracking. Our generation was the first ones that would, you know, using multi-tracks and, you know, and combining tracks so we had extra tracks and, making great, great new sounds basically on four tracks that we would double and, make eight or 12, the other industries, they were, basically using, two tracks. Stereo and all mono. After stereo came, it came along in the mid-50s. Everything was brand new. And the fact that young people were all of a sudden in a powerful position is never comfortable for older established people. They don't, it happened again in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
When Three Dog Night, we came out and we started playing ballparks. These people did not want us there, not the audience, but the people that ran the stadiums. Of course, we won them all over, but these guys are freaks. They're long hair. What are they going to do to the grass? You know, it's just one thing after another because we were young.
Mm-hmm. And anything could happen. You might burn the place down, John.
Yeah, the audience might, tear it down. Now, I'm trying to think. I think it might have been the Cotton Bowl or Boston. I don't know, one of those ballpark football fields. I mean, you could actually feel and see the sections moving up and down.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, whoa, and the sound of it was frightening. And that, too, had happened. And at Brooklyn Paramount, where Alan Freed was doing his rock shows with all the people, one day they thought it was going to come down. Mm-hmm. And, they'd never seen anything like that before.
And through this time period, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Columbia Records signed you, and that was in 1965. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, I was in college. I was playing college basketball. I made two or three records, and I was getting play in Central California, which was basically Santa Barbara through Bakersfield, with a group called... Chuck Rondell and the Sorensen Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a wonderful time. I was going to college. I was playing basketball and making records. And finally, Columbia Records came around because of the interest, and I was exactly the look they wanted, and I was clean cut, and they wanted another balladeer because Johnny Mathis had just left. So they were ready to groom me in a certain area that was just one part of me, and I was very uncomfortable with that, but, you know, I wasn't going to argue with them. This is Columbia Records. I figured they knew what they were doing, you know. So it was wonderful, you know, as a young man to be signed. At that time, that was the biggest record company in the world.
Well, during that process of the grooming, you know, later on in life, we get the scenario of we get to keep what we want, you know, keep what we need and leave the rest. I'm sure during that time frame, you understood there were certain things that you did need for your career, but there were some other things that you really didn't. And you were taught that through that Capitol experience, I'm sure.
Columbia, yeah. Well, Columbia. What it was, I was very, I was a very nice kid, and, I played ball. I hung around athletes. Of course, there were athletes that got high pot stuff, and some of the football players drank, but I didn't. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink. And when I was on signed with Columbia, that's one of the things I liked about him. It was very clean cut, very well dressed, very, you know, just kind of a nice guy. And my producer wanted me to get out there. And he started taking me to premieres and movie premieres and important parties. And that's when I noticed that physically I was different than a lot of the young people. They had long hair, they had mustaches. You know, the girls were, you know, wearing bras. They were wearing very provocative clothing. And I went, where the hell, you know, where have I been? I mean, this is another world. How do you live as long as I did and not know, you know what I mean, if this is going on? And I was very, very impressed with it. And at one of the parties later on, where I met Danny Hutton, I was with Ronnie Singer, who was a friend of mine from New York. And one of the parties, it was actually Frank Zappa played, and it was wonderful. It was in Tom Mix's house. Which later burnt down, and that was the song "Smoke on the Water."
Yeah, was
from that house. They started a fire and burned that that famous Tom Mix house to the ground. But anyway, you know, a girl came and just dropped something in my mouth, and my friend said, "What did she do?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know what it is." And it kind of started like that. It was like you know, when it hit me, it was like, you know, a very quiet, shy, and I'm not quiet with my friends, but, you know, when I wasn't familiar with you, I'd be very quiet. And from this very shy guy to high, I'm Chuck, you know, and just like some people when they take their first drink of alcohol, you know, it's this thing. And I was, you know, an addict alcoholic from the start because it changed me the way it does for people who suffer from addiction. And from that day, you know, I was using stuff every day after that. I remember my friends, you know, who came with me from, there's another guy, Jeff Bodie, who came. We drove across country, and they said, "What are you doing, man? You don't even smoke, but you're getting high with these people every day." Well, you know, so right from the gate, my friends were concerned about me.
And you bring up a point that I want to stop you at, because at the very beginning of this, you seem no problem with it. Yeah, everything's okay. I'm having fun.
Yeah, exactly. There were successful people there. There were people from, you know, from Hollywood, from the movies, from band successful people that were just, to them, very natural and passing around joints and, you know, just turning on. And, you know, my mind said, you know, these people aren't bad people, they're smart people, successful people, they must know what they're doing, you know what I mean? So I jumped on board, and you know, not that anyone said, "Hey, you better get high," no one did. I just, you know, made a decision that I'd like to be a part of this crowd. It seems a lot of fun. And you're right, and it did. I had no problem, you know, because I'm basically smoking pot and then just, you know, doing some pills. And I realized that that LSD probably was something you shouldn't take every day. So, plus the money, you know. I mean, you're given this stuff, for a while. Then, when you seek it out, you got to pay for it. So, it was some time before it hit me that, oh my God, I'm high every day, and it is affecting my life. It was years before that happened, and that Three Dog Night was already together. And
that was in 67 that happened, right?
Yeah. Three Dog. Well, when we got together, we first Danny turned me on, turned a lot of people on, turned Brian Wilson on. But he was quite a bit ahead of ahead of me, and we used with Brian, went to Brian's house, and I could see already that Brian, there was something not right.
Mm-hmm.
That, he probably shouldn't do drugs. Matter of fact, he probably should be in a hospital, right at the beginning, because, he's got, I think he was having a breakdown. But anyway, just 67, we went out, and when we came home, in and out, about a year later, I had some money, and someone gave me some coke, so I said, that's cool. I don't feel tired anymore, and then the coke led to downers. Give you a second ulcer, two and all. Very easy to get, actually, from a doctor. They were, the new drugs, and as well as Valium, they were pushing. I used them, and then that's when I really realized. First time we went to Hawaii, I mean, I couldn't even walk half the time. We were in this beautiful mansion, it was Chinese decor, and actually the people that owned it were from Japan, and they came there. And I mean, I broke things. I fell right through this antique table, face first, and I wrecked this antique, fell in my body. And it's the first time I realized that I was doing things that, made people unhappy, and I was causing damage.
Well, and here's the amazing part, that your history, as you read through your history, you understand that somehow you were able to keep it together enough to do things like, I understand you sang lead on Elton John's first song to be released in the U.S., Lady Samantha. You also sang along with Paul Williams' old-fashioned love song. You did the lead on that too. Is that correct?
Yeah. And before that, I had the first number one million seller. It was number one on Record World, but one.
Mm-hmm.
And Easy Be Hard was number one on Record World, and that was the second big hit from Three Dog Night. So, it took a while. I didn't go into the studio wrecked. It took a while before it was part of my, every minute of my day. And Old Fashioned Love Song, when I did that, we just sold out the Cotton Bowl, and I was in a car wreck. I was out cold and drove into a parked car or a truck. Anyway, I broke my nose, shattered my nose, and broke a cheekbone and, my arm. And we went and did the Cotton Bowl. My eye was closed. I had a sling on, my nose. And I went home the next day. And that following day, the producers called me and said, I heard you're in town. Come down. I sang Old Fashioned Love Song, with a nose that had just been fixed. One eye was closed. The other one was half closed. I looked like, I'd been beaten to death.
Oh, my God.
And so I sang that song. While in some, serious wreckage from drug addiction and alcoholism.
And what I want to do is kind of sum up this era, and we're going to get into some other things, but in 1969, I'm just going to go over some things that were incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
In 1969, an era when Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones and Motown were competing for chart positions, Three Dog Night dominated the charts and sold 50 million records by 1975. 90 million records sold to date. While Chuck was with Three Dog Night, you were 18 consecutive top 20 hits. That's amazing, man. 21 top 40 hits, 8 top 10 hits, and 4 number one hits, not to mention 5 top 10 albums and 11 top 20 albums. And I understand that through this process, you were all self-contained. You picked your song arrangements. You totally were involved with production. None of that was on the outside. You guys all did that internally, which was unusual back then.
Yeah, well, we had a great band, and we put it, you know, took some time to put it together. The guys, you know, Floyd is from Canada, and we met him when he was in Skylark, which had a hit record, and they were backing up, playing a club gig, playing for the Coasters, and you know, we got him out of that band. You know, we were very lucky. We convinced him. And Joe Sherman was from Phoenix, and Corey had known him in Phoenix because Joe worked with him in the club scene. And Jimmy Grimson was from Beverly Hills, so, he knew Danny. Corey was from New York, from Buffalo. I was from New York. And Danny was born in Ireland and moved to Boston, and then came to L.A. at 13. We all met in Los Angeles. Michael also was just going through on tour dates, and, you know, Joe ran into him. So we put this unbelievable band together, but the truth of the matter is we really would have killed us. We were having a hard time riding together because there was no chemistry.
Personally.
As far as personality, yeah. There was no give. Like Lennon and McCartney, they bought their stuff. John did one thing. You know, they married their music together. Three Dog Night wouldn't have made it if I hadn't come in and brought a whole bunch of songs. Because we just would have fought. It was a shame. We weren't mature enough at the time to, you know, to give and take and kind of let a song find its way with three guys. But this is my song. This is how I want it. And so, you know, being in New York with the Brill Building and knowing at a very young age that the difference between me and any one of those acts that was successful was the song. So, I went right to the people, the publishers, you know, here that I'd met in Columbia Records, and they played me a record. This guy who had never had a hit single with his anything he wrote, and he was fairly new, Harry Nilsson. And actually, Harry never had a hit record with something he wrote. The hits he had were, but anyway. So I picked one, and then Easy to Be Hard. I brought Eli's Coming for Corey because Laura Nero was from the Bronx. You know, I was very, very aware of her. When I heard Elton John, I knew that was, that was a hit. I brought two Johnny Guitar Watson tunes in that we did. And then it was easier. We got those done, and then they started, and the producers started bringing in songs, and we kind of ended up getting started. And then by, about the fifth, sixth record, we said, look, we need to write, we're writing a couple of tunes, but we need to, get some of our own stuff in there. But it never really worked itself through. We just didn't have, the security, the emotional stability to write together. We just couldn't do it.
And using, I'm sure, probably had a lot to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Corey didn't use. So people loaded in that process. He didn't even want to be there. And me and Danny writing on the side. I was loaded. He was loaded. Nothing got done. It didn't help anything that the band was using. Now I did not go in the studio loaded. There was people that did. But I really, when I went there, I wanted to work. But it can end up a party, and that we tried. We actually did stop that. We got security to come in. We couldn't bring in drugs or anything. It was crazy. But, this Three Dog Night was a very good compass that drugs and alcohol do not work. I mean, we were bigger than anybody. And we were selling more records. We were selling out more concerts. We just weren't the darlings of rock and roll. Like, at some, you know, like the Who and Jimi Hendrix. But every festival we did, you know, we went on next to last, and because no one wanted to follow us. The only people that followed us, Jimi, didn't care. Hendrix, he, you know, but just about everyone else did not want to follow us. And we were great, and with all that going on, drugs and alcohol brought us down. It ruined and stopped the band.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because reading on in some of the things that I've read is few bands were as popular in concert, and they go on to say that in the, you know, very beginning, and I guess there was a Rolling Stones magazine did an article in 1972, which was a cover story, in regards to your band, Three Dog Night. And some of your opening acts during that time period were Rod Stewart, Aerosmith, ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, and you were co-headlining with Led Zeppelin and all of that back then, too.
So,
in a huge arena.
The show that we did a couple shows with Led Zeppelin, but the co-headlining shows where we were playing stadiums and the concert West were luring in Led Zeppelin to do it, but they weren't sure. So they kind of used, not us, the management and Concert West used us on a concert that was already sold out to bring in Led Zeppelin, so Led Zeppelin could see that it worked, and then they signed up with our people. And a year later, they started doing the same kind of stuff we've been doing for 2 years. But, we worked it there. But one of the concerts with Led Zeppelin was James Taylor opened up.
Oh, my God.
It was a very eclectic thing. Because the charts then, to have a number one record then, it's not like today or the way it's been for 20 years. All the songs are on one chart. Motown, Johnny Mathis, Sugar Sugar, any genre, they were all on one. So you aren't fighting just with R&B or pop or rock. You were fighting with them all. So to get a number one record, you had to sell a lot of records. Like, you had to sell a million records to get a number one goal, and it was just golden. Today, it's only 500,000. So they've actually gone down. You have to sell less to get the same award, because we were really moving product.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the long road back, because it all came to an end in 1975. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the long road back, and we're going to talk about Three Dog Nightmare. We'll be back right after this message. Hang for us. Okay, Chuck?
Yeah.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural, G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories.
Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call GNG Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at GNG Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the GNG Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
InTheRooms.com is the number one free online social network for the global recovery community. InTheRooms.com is a safe and secure place to find old friends and make new ones, featuring online chat and blogs. You can create your own group, listen to speakers, read a daily meditation, catch up on recovery news, and much, much more. At InTheRooms.com, you get connected, stay connected, and connect with others in the recovery community around the world. InTheRooms.com, where social media and recovery merge. www.intheroom.com. That's InTheRooms.com. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
Rock and roll. Was my first ever thing. Jackie Wilson lifted me higher.
Then I met the thing lifted me higher.
Keep moving in time. Reach the moment.
All right, welcome back. We have the honor of being on tonight here at Rockers in Recovery on Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network with Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night. And history it spans more than just, of course, Three Dog Night. That was one career in a career, so to speak. The man has been involved with music for 50 years. And most importantly, has been rocking out and continues to rock out. But, you know, when you come right down to it, folks, sooner or later, we get to a point in our lives where change has to come or we die. Right, Chuck?
Yeah. You know, but we are kind of built to learn and learn, and you learn the lessons, and then you learn new ones that you couldn't learn until you got older. And as we progress, there are constantly new things to face and to learn about. You either, you know, you grow or you go, so to speak. And you know, it's, and especially if you're if you're an addict or an alcoholic, you in a sense need to keep reinventing yourself through the steps of recovery and working, you know, working with other people. So, you know, I see it now. I have 19 years, and, you know, right around 10, my life changed, you know, because I had a life. You know, there wasn't the time to do the work with us, as much work. And the thing is, the thing that worked, the thing that saved my life, stopped, you know, because all these other things. And it wasn't so much that I even though I did change my priorities, you know, being, raising a family, working, I wasn't aware that I was tampering with you know, something that could kill me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changing something that changed my life. So, we need to grow constantly. I think all people do, but, you know, addicts need to keep reinventing themselves by, you know, going back and doing the things they did in the beginning. And people are just starting, finding someone that can show them the way to live, you know, through see the 12 steps, and I know there are so many other different avenues today where they either use medications, where an AA and NA, you know, it's a steadfast 12-step program, but there are others now that use, you know, medications that people, you know, live on and help, you know, save their lives, because there's so many other ailments that come along with addiction.
Yeah, like when you start looking at the combined mental health issues and all of the rest of the things that happen from using.
Yeah. And, you know, in this country, in the Reagan years, they would just let go on the streets. I mean, to this day, Santa Monica, California probably has the biggest homeless rates, probably as big as Skid Row, because that's where all the asylums and medical facilities that help people with disorders, they just cut all benefits, and they're still out there on the streets, the ones that didn't die.
And it's, I want to bring us to a point here, because you have a best-selling book out there. It's Three Dog Nightmare, and then you followed that up with Three Dog Nightmare, the continuing Chuck Nigron story. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you look at this book and the stories of Chuck Nigron and the stories, your personal life and death struggle with addiction and the miracle that saved you. And by the way, happy anniversary. I see that September 17th was your date.
Yes.
And
19th.
Wow. It's the 19th?
No, 17th, 19 years. You're right. No, this is the 17th.
Wow. Cool.
1991.
Absolutely. And you've remained sober, and this is the clean and sober, and this is what my sponsor told me when I first came in. He said, listen, weekends and holidays count.
Yeah, 365 days and nights.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reason that I put out the second book, which is first of all, it was very difficult to get the first book anymore. But then I, within my 10th year of recovery, my life was kind of turned upside down. With all the tools that I had, I did not drink, I did not use, but I lost my way with anger. So the chapters, the 12, whatever chapters there are, about a man who lost everything and then was blessed with recovery, and through not drinking or using, but not taking care of resentments, not working, you know, through problems, but you know, holding them and nurturing resentments, and finally my wife Robin, who you know, was with me through all those years that I was sick, you know, said, look, I don't want this in the house. We have a baby here. And, you know, not that I yelled at her, but I was yelling on the phone all the time. And it was basically, I was in a lawsuit with the other guys in Three Dog Night. And, you know, the worst part of me that I didn't even know was even there. Huh. I'd never been that angry in my whole life. And in the end, the result was, you know, I moved out. She was serious. And I started, you know, I started all over with you know, this woman. I loved her, and she saved my life. I walked out with nothing. I had to take a loan to rent a place. I mean, she even wanted the car, but that was, you know, there were reasons. She was, you know, she was hurt. But at any rate, at 10 years sober and 58 years old, I started all over again, applied myself to just the work and the program, the 12 steps, traditions, and, you know, within 5 years, I had my life back. I bought a nice condo. I had another child. You know, so we can lose our way clean and sober. At least I have. And get back. You know, and it wasn't easy. But that was the thing that really let me get closer to God and let the resentments go, because I realized this woman stayed with you when you stole from her, when you lied to her. And with 10 years so clean and sober, she asked you to leave because she was afraid of you. She'd never seen that in the 17 years that we knew each other. And, you know, so I started all over again, and you know, and helping others, and you know, finding my way, and then, you know, new stuff comes up, you know, with, you know, I suffer all fun stuff from depression, so I had to learn how to address that, and then I had to be very careful because everyone had a plethora of drugs they wanted to give you, and I, you know, they kind of went, well, look, we have to give them to you if we find what works, and I said, you know, I really not a good candidate for this, you know, I kind of had to go through it without medication, and you know, finally I found herbs. I just heard one of the ads, actually, holistic. I found herbs, and you know, Japanese herbs, and I've been taking them, you know, now for 12 years, whatever, and. You know, there's many ways to skin a cat. For me, staying clean and sober is the 12 and 12 in the big book. And but there's much great reading out there. But anyway, as I'm babbling on.
And it's okay because, you know, sometimes I'm getting a lot out of it. And I'm getting out because, listen, we all go through, I think, that important part of our lives where, you know, I know I hold on to some resentments, and, you know, I've been clean and sober for a little while now, and the bottom line is that, you know, when I hear somebody like yourself that says, hey, listen, these are things that you still have to watch out for, and you can get caught up in them and not even know you're getting caught up in them, and it can actually, you know, you don't have to use over them. You can end up just, you know, just having a miserable life because of it.
Yes, and, you know, I didn't, you know, didn't get to, in 1991, get clean and, you know, put my life and my body through what I did all those years to be a miserable human being. Mm-hmm. Always was gifted with a sense of humor that I always saw the funny sides of things. And, you know, when I lost that, I was in trouble. I got it back. But I'll tell you even now for the younger people that are listening. I was blessed with a very, very athletic body and a lot of skills. On a bet, the last time I dunked a basketball, I was 45 years old. And on a bet, I did it. And that was in a rehab. So God gave me this really great body.
Mm-hmm.
For me to get clean, I had to go and end up 126 pounds. I only had 15 teeth left. I weighed 126 pounds. I had hepatitis A, B, and C, and pneumonia, which they found out was emphysema. And today I have a lung that doesn't function as well as the other. But if you're out there and you don't have what it takes to live with this stuff. Stop now, because I learned through the steps and a program of action how to address every one of these problems and consistently overcome them. It's not in the book, and I wish it would have been, but it was a science that kind of came up. They started finding a lot of football plays, a lot of athletes, in Great Depression, and then they would die. Hmm. And this one guy started to ask the families if he could look at the brains to stop there, and he did. And he found a common scar in the same place of all these athletes, which was a concussion, which was caused by concussions. And he's now, it's part of the league now. You have a certain amount of concussions, you're out so much, but they get concussions every day. Anyway, through my flying through windows, falling head first, I am now side by side with these athletes getting the new protocol because I had that scar on my brain from too many concussions.
And I'm glad that you're talking about that end of it, because the insanity of it that brings us to where we finally say, okay, I surrender. We put our hands up and we're in surrender mode.
Right.
And we start to move forward and we start to find out all of the health issues and all the physical and mental health issues and all of those things, because listen, we didn't go out. We weren't in a tea social out there, that's for sure. We were getting hammered on every day. Now we start to
look at our bodies different, our minds different, our emotions different, our spirits different. We start to look at things a little bit different. We start to shift because of the steps and the people in our lives and directing us. But one of the things that, and I'm going to kind of bring it on because we're kind of running out of time here, but I want to talk about the fact that you took all of this in that last, you know, like 10 years, and you started to understand that, you know, hey, listen, I need to carry this message. And you started doing it in ways like you were nominated in 2002 for a Prism Award for Best Song, Took Me Under. You also put out in 2005 the two DVDs, the Chuck Nigron Story, Chuck Nigron Story, Biography of an Entertainer, which won 7 awards. Is that correct?
Yes.
Including the 2006 Prism Award.
Yeah, and I was up against the Johnny Cash movie with that one that won the DVD, so it was really amazing that I won.
And one of the, and I also I gotta say this. I told him I would say it. Richie Supa wanted me to say hello to you also.
Say hi to him. Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. He had given me a little thing on Facebook yesterday to say hello to you.
So, oh yeah, that's wonderful. I love to hear from him.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and again, you are too, and that's why the message is being carried from folks like yourselves that are carrying this message every day. We have the 12-Step Music Fest coming up, and I know you're going to be a big part of the 12-Step Music Fest. You're the lead opening or the lead act that's going to be there Saturday night, correct?
Yes.
And what's the lineup for that?
You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know.
I love it.
You know, I'm so sorry. I should have said that. And it's not that they haven't told me, because they have. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding around. There's a part of my brain that keeps certain information, and there's a part of my brain that just doesn't function. I have to read things over and over again. It's just part of the deal. So anyway, I do not know who's there. I just found out I'm working this weekend, and I can actually tell you where I am.
Yeah, why don't you tell us where you're going to be?
But yesterday I couldn't have told you. You look it up and tell me who it is.
Where are you going to be this week? I know you're going to be in the city somewhere, right? New York City?
Yeah, actually, but I'm going up to Niagara Falls. I was in New York City last week.
Okay. And you're going to Niagara Falls tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Where are you going to be in Niagara Falls? Where can people see you? Are you going to be quiet?
God, you know what? See, this is here that goes. I'm at one of the casinos, and it's so embarrassing, but, you know, it'll be up on all the pages.
Okay.
I'm not sure on my computer on right now, I could tell you. It's one of the casinos. That's so terrible. I'm such a professional when it comes to this stuff. I don't know.
It's all good. You know something?
Yeah.
You can find Chuck Nigron on Facebook, and everything's there. And you can go.
It is all there.
And you can go to Nigron.com. And you can check that out, and he's got everything on his website. Chuck, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. You know, we're looking to play a few more of your songs tonight, but I got to tell you, it was instrumental in the message that you carried. And I want to thank you
for carrying
the message to Rockers in Recovery and the people that listen to our show and the folks that are streaming online right now with us all across the United States and worldwide. And we want to thank you for being a part of Rockers in Recovery tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I'm glad that I have something to offer, and I'm grateful I do.
Well, 12-Step Music Fest, folks, if you get a chance, go to 12stepmusicfest.com, and you can come down and hang out with us and, of course, listen to some great music from Chuck Nigron, and we look forward to being there with you, Chuck, and again, God
bless
you.
Fantastic.
Thank you for being on the show.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're out, and, of course, we thank Chuck for being on the show, and most importantly, we thank you for tuning in. And you can check us out tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WNN 1470 AM. I'm John Hollis. I'm out for the night.
I never knew I wasn't free. Didn't know that I was changed. But how can you end? You're addicted and insane. Always thought I made the rules, even when I was in jail. Oh,
always a fool. That's one of them.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. All broadcast rights to this program are the property of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Rebroadcast of any portion of this program without express written consent is prohibited. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of the hosts and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. WWNN, Pompano Beach. WWNN, Pompano Beach. Visit the Steve Kane website at stevekaneshow.com.
This is Steve Kane for Bob Reich and Diane Brennan at MetLife. Last year, I discovered that my life insurance was about to expire. I was panicked. Who was going to issue me a new life insurance policy at 71 years old? And if I could find someone, what would the cost be? More than I could imagine. Well, luckily, that's around the time I met Bob and Diane from MetLife. They not only got me a new policy that would last no matter how long I live, but my premiums were less than my old policy. Now I can rest assured that at the time of my passing, my family will be taken care of and be debt-free. Don't just automatically assume you're too old for affordable life insurance. Call Bob and Diane today, toll-free 1-866-282-3704. That's toll-free 866-282-3704. Tell them that Steve Kane sent you. This is Steve Kane, and I have a $100 restaurant gift card for you. Dine at the fabulous Mai Kai restaurant or the Melting Pot or dozens of other top restaurants courtesy of Kiss Energy Solutions. Simply call Scott at Kiss Energy Solutions for a free home energy analysis. They can save you up to 50% on your electric bill. The energy analysis is free. The $100 restaurant gift card is free. Call today, 954-380-7283. That's 954-380-7283. Tell them Steve Kane sent you.
This is attorney Andy Curtis. Did you know that when you die, if you leave your house to your children in a regular will, that house may have to go to probate? Did you know that probate means that your kids would have to hire a lawyer when you die, and that such lawyers often charge $200 to $300 an hour? Did you know that if you have a second house up north, this may mean two probates and the hiring of two different lawyers? Did you know that a house is very hard to sell during the probate process? This is attorney Andy Curtis again. Now, here's the good news. A revocable living trust may help you to avoid probate. I charge this $350 for a single person and $450 for a married couple to do a revocable living trust. Call me, 1-877-ASK-ADAM. That's 1-877-ASK-ADAM, 1-877-ASK-ADAM.
Visit the Steve Kane website at stevekaneshow.com.
The Steve Kane Show comes to you live from the Adams World Radio Studios, home of AdCob Medical Coverages. For all your health insurance needs, call 954-345-1212.
The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
On AM 1470, WNA, it's the Steve Kane Show, brought to you by AdCob Apple. To join the discussion, call toll-free 1-877-275-2326. Now, Steve Kane.
Critical anyway, but the whole point, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Steve Kane YouTube channel. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that later. All right, good morning. It's Friday. It is the also not just the Friday edition of the Steve Kane Radio Show. It's the weekend edition. We're on all weekend long. All kinds of stuff to talk about, a whole bunch of things to get into. Today on the show, though, someone new is joining our sponsorship lineup. You'll hear this at the end. Steve's been looking for a long time. You've heard us talk about the foreclosure forum. We've been looking for an attorney who could come on the program and help you out there in the audience. And I got to tell you, I've talked about this. I've seen too many homes in my neighborhood go through foreclosure, and some people out there, this is shocking to me. They get the foreclosure notice, and it's a big stack of papers. You know, someone like Doug delivers it. You have to sign for everything, and then they don't do anything. And the people behind me that were foreclosed on a few weeks ago, they didn't hire an attorney. They did nothing. They let the process run out, and two sheriff's deputies came and escorted them out and said, you know, you got to get out. They didn't have a truck. The only thing they could take were whatever they could fit in their cars. They called some friends or family over, and they loaded up a bunch of cars. And the next day, I drove by the house, and everything they owned was out in the driveway, living room, furniture, children's toys, their kids. It's an awful thing. It's surprising how many people don't hire a foreclosure attorney when they're facing this. But we found someone. They'll be joining us at the end of the program. And I got to tell you, I don't want people to think we're just saying this. This is true. We have talked and met with several people that were interested in this foreclosure forum. But when you're sending someone to an individual to really put their life and their home in their hands, you got to find the right person. So it took us a long time to find the right person that we could trust, sending you all too. So tune in for that. That'll be towards the end of the show. Now, until then, there's a lot to talk about, a whole bunch of stuff going on. NPR is, now I must tell you, before we're going to get into the Juan Williams and the NPR, there's a lot of developments, a lot of things to talk about. I am a listener to National Public Radio. All right? I enjoy public radio. I listen to it. I wouldn't say I listen to it a lot. Before Glenn Beck was on the air, middays, I listened to it a lot more because I love Diane Rehm. She's very lib. You know, Diane Rehm, I've gotten a lot of good liberal guests off of that NPR guest lineup. And the things they do on NPR, it's a lot of fun. It's comical. But when Glenn Beck came around, I listened to Glenn Beck instead of Diane Rehm. But Diane Rehm, she'll have an issue. They'll be talking about, just off the top of my head, the Israeli peace process, all right? And she'll tell you they have both sides represented. They're going to have a Palestinian, and they're going to have an Israeli who served in the Israeli Defense Forces. And then as the conversation goes on, you find out that they're not on different sides. The Palestinian and the Israeli are on the same side. You have a former Israeli soldier who's a Jew that also supports wiping out the State of Israel. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I do also on the weekends listen to National Public Radio. But I'll tell you, working in broadcasting, when you work in the private sector as opposed to government-funded sectors of this business, it's a whole other ball game. I remember, you know, our Steve Kane television show. Now, those of you that have seen it, we got about 100 shows. We've only put a sampling up there. But they're low budget. They're very low budget, and the reason they're low budget is because, you know, we're private business. And when you're a private business, you've got to be a for-profit business, so you've got to keep expenses as low as you possibly can. And that TV show is very low budget, you know. And, you know, we have a very nice – in fact, the radio studio we are in is one of the nicest studios I've been in. Most studio, and not that we have – the most modern equipment. We have great equipment here that Adam's given us, but we have a very nice studio. But when there's a problem, if something's broken, I'll try to fix it. If I cannot fix it, I'll find a way to go to Radio Shack and buy a wire and rewire something. I'll find any way I can to get things operating without spending money. And then if there's really something we got to do, you know, we have to, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I can't fix it. We got to call up the engineer. And that, you know, that's the way you operate in the private sector. And when we were doing our television show, I'll never forget this. When we were doing our television show, it was it's not the lowest budget show ever on television, but it's pretty close. It's a very low budget. And I remember one day we were at the editing studio. We had an editing studio that we used at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, a little cheap little place. And you had a friend, remember Ed Madge, Steve, your friend from the Broward Sheriff's Office, a good guy. Yeah, he's retired from the Broward Sheriff's Office, but he came in one day while we were doing production, and he brought a friend of his that does the video production for the Broward County Sheriff's Office. And, you know, the Broward County Sheriff, of course the sheriff's a political position, but it's always something fought over. And Sheriff Lamberti that we have today, he wasn't around then. We had the crook. The guy that went to prison was the sheriff then. I forgot his name. What was the guy that went to jail? Yeah, the little guy with no hair, he went to prison. I can't remember his name. Boy, people forget. Yeah, well, we don't know. Well, anyway, you know, Lamberti's, yeah, he deals with a lot of flack in the paper because he's a Republican, and the Broward Sheriff's Office has the biggest share, like a $1 billion budget or something, and the Democrats want to get their hands on it because, you know, we know how Democrats operate when they have their hands on budgets, right? So the guy comes in our little cheap production studio, very low budget, you know, and he does the video production for the Broward Sheriff's Office, and he starts laughing at our equipment. And he's like, man, you know, over at my place, I've got this, I've got that. Why don't you have this? And Nick Lawrence, our old producer from FTL, did the video edit. And Nick and I just started laughing back at him. And he's like, what's so funny? I said, this is what it's like in the private sector. When you work for the government and money's no issue and the person you work for isn't writing the checks, of course you go out and get the 500,000 machine to make copies of videotapes. You know, of course you have the most up-to-date, most modern equipment because money's no object. You're with the government. I said, when you leave the sheriff's office and you're in the private sector, this is what you're going to be working with because we're for profit here. And he just didn't compute. It didn't compute. And NPR is in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble because they picked on this bad timing for them to do this Juan Williams issue. They did it on the eve of an election, and they started a national dialogue. And the Democrats want to open up the books, right? They want to open up the books on campaign donors. What is going to happen, the books are going to be opened up not just on national public radio, but also on PBS. And as a broadcaster and listener to national public radio, their radio stations have the most high-end production value you can have in broadcasting because they have government funding, right? They have government funding. Money's not an option. I know they go on the air and cry poor mouth all the time so you can become a member. They've got tons of money. They waste a lot of money. The most modern web abilities, the most modern streaming and iPhone apps and all this stuff because they're not for profit. Now, the people on NPR that work on these staffs, I promise you, we're going to hear from the CEO and president, this woman talked about Juan Williams needs a psychiatrist. People that work at NPR, even the radio personalities, make a very good living. In fact, they're probably paid better than the average broadcaster in the private sector, okay? And they're all over the country. They're on over 700 radio stations. And they make a lot of money, too. Diane Rehm, I mentioned, for example. She's selling books. She does personal appearances. She sells things online. You know, they have these guys on the weekend that I can't stand that do an auto talk show. You've heard of these guys? They're nationally syndicated. They fly them to auto shows. They make a ton of money. I don't like them because they always laugh constantly, and I don't like laughing on the radio nonstop. It gets annoying. But the NPR generates enough money to be commercially viable, okay? But they hoard all that for themselves and get the government funding to pad their friends' pockets and hire their buddies. We'll take a break. I'll tell you a little bit more about this because part of the reason Air America Radio went off is they didn't run it like a business. They ran it like National Public Radio. And the Republicans are going to open up the books. We're going to open up the books. We're going to do a little auditing. We're going to find out this woman that's attacking Ron Williams that fired him, this Vivian woman, she's going to be called to testify in front of a congressional committee. We're going to find out what she makes. We're going to find out how much NPR makes. We're going to take it over to PBS, find out how much money Big Bird and Sesame Street products generate. You go to Target and Walmart, they're selling Sesame Street and Barney products. How much revenue is public television generating? Why do they need to have government funding? They are making tons of money. And you know what's going to happen? NPR is going to lose a lot of their stations because they fired Juan Williams. And they did it at a great time. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this. 877-ASK-ADAM, caneradio at AOL.com, our email address. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Call Steve King, toll-free at 1-877-275-2326.
For over 30 years, Dr. Ira Geyer at Midway Medical has been helping people to deal with their chronic pain through chiropractic care. But let me tell you something about Midway Medical. It is not just like an ordinary chiropractic office. They believe in a holistic approach to pain management, including things like acupuncture, a great array of physical therapies, nutritional counseling, and weight loss. If you suffer from chronic pain, whether it's migraine, carpal tunnel, stenosis, arthritis, or just an old-fashioned pain in the neck, drop into Midway Medical anytime. There's no charge for the consultation. They accept Medicare and most insurance. They're located in Midway Plaza, north of Commercial on the west side of University. Call 954-720-1040 and tell them that Steve Kane sent you.
Hi, Lowell Richard here from Ad Cobb Medical Coverages. Want to tell you about a brand new plan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida. Family Blue. For $19.95 a month, you can have access to medical care, pharmacy, dental, vision, chiropractic coverage. And that includes you and five family members. That's right, six people for $19.95 a month. There are no health questions. There are no exclusions for pre-existing conditions. For more information, call me at 954-345-1212. Once again, that's 954-345-1212.
The Steve Kane Show is live every day from 6 till 9 a.m. on AM 1470 WNN. Call Steve now at 1-877-275-2326. And now, more Steve Kane.
Well, Phil Thomas, air conditioning, as you know, family-owned and operated, a three-generation family-owned and operated business. That's right, almost 50 years in the business, wants you to know the clock is running out. What does that mean? Well, the famous stimulus package and the tax credit that would apply to buying a new air conditioner expires at the end of December. You have 2 months left to call Phil Thomas AC and to pick up a brand new air conditioner at about half price. Why do I say half price? Well, you get 30% back on your tax credit if you move before the end of December. FP&L is offering you rebates up to $2,300, and if you choose a system from American Standard, of course, they're the manufacturers of the great Train AC, they're going to throw in a $400 rebate as well. Add it all up, a brand-new air conditioner, 50% off. Call Phil Thomas today, 954-434-4576. Tell him Steve sent you.
Wow, I'm shocked that we did that. We're pretty relaxed back here, and I can't believe we did that right on the dial. We haven't done that in years. No one knows what we're talking about. It's okay. Now, anyway, so back to NPR.
That's what's fun about the show.
You know, there's all secrets.
Stuff.
There's secrets, man.
Nothing but secrets.
Back to NPR. Okay, so the Republicans, part of one of our great committees of investigation that are going to take place, it's going to be great. You know, C-SPAN, the ratings for C-SPAN are going to go through the roof with all these exciting government hearings that we're going to be putting through Congress. I can't wait. But we're going to open up the books and have hearings on NPR and find NPR, they generate a lot of money and they keep it for themselves and they use their government money and pay off their friends. You know, and as an NPR listener, they have a show on the weekend called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. See, Steve never listens to NPR. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's a trivia show. They have a bunch of the liberal elitist snobs that are on NPR during the week, and they have a trivia show, and you call in, and they ask you questions from the news during the week, right? And if you win the prize, the voiceover person from NPR makes your voicemail message for you. I mean, you know, I'm all excited. But they're always on location. They're always on location with a studio audience. They go to an auditorium in this city, in that city. We're at this show. We're at the auto show. We're at the art show. We're at, you know, whatever, whatever liberal event going on. Do you know how much it costs to do remotes? Do you know what type of equipment? And they don't have – this isn't like a capitalist system over here where they – where they're worried about budgets. They go out and get the highest-end remote ability available to broadcast radio, and they send that over there. When we open up the books on NPR, we may do what Sarah Palin did with the governor's jet in Alaska. We may start putting parts of NPR up for sale on eBay. But I promise you, there is so much corruption at NPR.
The bottom line of this is there is not a question in the world that as a result of this
Juan Williams
fiasco, NPR will lose their public finance.
I think NPA was a New Deal program.
Yeah, six to one, I'm sorry. I mean, this is the bottom line. This is the importance of this election. If it was up to this Congress, no way. I mean, we would be using our private tax funds to support this this horrendous propaganda organ of the left forever. Oh, yeah. But with the new Congress, that's the beauty of it. And by the way, I don't mean the Senate. You don't need the Senate. That's the beauty of it. We got to win the House. Got to win the Senate, too. Got to win both. The Senate. That means forget about the Senate. You win the House, you can stop the funding for NPR.
Yeah.
Now your NPR just like that.
Yeah. And it's gonna happen
and what was done, and we're gonna play some of these sound bites. We spend a lot of time talking about the arrogance of the left. This is about the best example I have ever seen of the two things, the out of touchness of the left and the absolute vicious arrogance of these people, the way they treated Juan Williams. And let me tell you something, there's a little part of this story that is getting, I only heard it mentioned once in passing. To me, it is the largest part of this story. Did you know that now that National Public Radio has fired Juan Williams, they don't have a black broadcaster on the black male broadcaster on the air. He was the one, the only, and they fired the last black man at NPR radio. I mean, I'm sure on the janitorial staff they're probably very free. And who does that remind you of locally?
Sun Sentinel.
The Sun Sentinel. Oh, we believe in affirmative action. This Brian and I go over to get a sneaky visit in with Buddy Nevins in the days when he worked there. We had to hide because Buddy said, hey, if they see you, my God, you're going to go fire me, which was prophetic. And they have all the employees, all the editorial writers, you know, like a Hall of Fame of pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And you go down, white, and some of them were groups, some of them were departments, you know, white. Mm-hmm. Finally, you get to a picture. Blacks. Oh, this is the janitorial staff.
Oh, the
These are the people that stick the paper in the plastic.
Yeah.
That's a black department. These liberals are two-faced phonies, and you black people out there, you just fall for it over and over again.
This is what I realized. You know, I told Buddy Nevins these photos on the wall. I feel like I'm at a golf club in the 1950s in South Florida, all membership white, mostly white male. And you know, here's the thing I learned about liberalism and liberals with affirmative action. The reason that liberals support affirmative action through law is because they believe everyone is like them, that they will only hire blacks and only a certain number of blacks if the law requires them to do so. And I got to tell you, when there are these hearings, and there will be hearings. Look, we're not just going to cut the funding. There's going to be an investigation to find out about the funding.
We'll drag it out.
Drag it out. What you're going to find, and again, I'm telling, when I listen to NPR and I hear some of these documentaries that they do, it's interesting. And I, you know, if it's on, I might listen. Do you realize how much it cost to fly someone around the country to get two sentences out of a person in Wichita and to find out what somebody thinks in Boise? When the books get opened of the waste and the payoffs and the corruption at NPR that's going on, not just now, but has been going on with liberals for decades, It's going to be astounding. Yeah.
George Soros, as you know, if you watch Glenn and if you listen to Fox, is now investing millions and millions of dollars in trying to destroy Fox. He had just given a $1 million-plus contribution to public radio, and the next day, by coincidence, I'm sure, they fire Juan Wynn.
Yeah, and, you know, Juan was fired because he works at Fox, and you know, you'll hear when you when we play the audio of the CEO from NPR, you'll hear that.
Hold on. This is like, it's a little more subtle than that. It's like Clarence Thomas, okay? He was fired because he is a black liberal working
a traitor.
Fox.
He's a race traitor.
A race traitor.
Yeah.
That's how these people view him, these arrogant SOBs.
Well, if you remember Roots, I know you liberals love Roots. I never read the book, but I've seen the miniseries. When, you know, Kunta Kinte, you know, he was a runner and he escaped. And the last time he escaped was the last time he escaped because when they captured him, they broke his ankle so he couldn't run anymore. You know, when a black liberal like Juan Williams leaves the plantation, the liberal white slave master do whatever they can do to get him back on the plantation, and if they can't, they try to destroy him. Now, they help Juan Williams. They just made Juan Williams a millionaire by doing this, thanks to Roger Ailes. But we'll get into all that later on. But what you're going to find with NPR when the investigations begin is this is one of the places liberals go. Remember we were talking about Anita Hill the other day? She's a college professor. What's your qualifications? I don't know. You know. Clarence Thomas said she was a mediocre employee. That was her payoff. Right, for testifying and making all that nonsense up about Clarence Thomas. You're going to find that NPR, among other places, that NPR is a place where a lot of liberals go to get paid off and have cushy jobs forever and ever. If you remember Air America Radio, when Al Franken signed off the air and his staff said goodbye, I remember this, we talked about this at the time, he listed Al Franken wasn't NPR, it was Air America Radio. But he listed his staff, and it was a staff of 20, 30 people.
That's
it went on forever.
And that's because it was financed by the Democratic Party.
Well,
so,
but
which
when
is
they,
basically like
but when
finance.
when they open up the books at public radio, NPR, you're going to find a lot of that going on.
Just to paint a little color in that story that Brian just told, you know, we are a two-man band here. Really, if you stop and think about it. I mean, I do the show, and Brian does everything else, okay? When I did Joe Pine out in California, this is a nationally syndicated show. This is what we did on the Joe Pine Show. We had a nationally syndicated television show running once a week. We had a nationally syndicated radio show where we had to produce about 15 shows a week, all right? And a local radio show and a local television show. All that came out of one office. There were two of us in the office and Joe. In other words, the entire national show, radio and television, is produced by three people. That's what you need, all right? When Franken went off the air and started thanking his staff, it went on
forever. And
on and on. And Brian and I are looking at each other like,
man,
what do they do with all these people? They don't need all these people. But it, you know what it's called? It's, the unions have a term for it. It's called feather bedding.
Yeah,
you know, you just everybody goes out and picks a couple of friends up and they hire everyone.
Absolutely.
Everyone just sits down and lives off the dole.
Absolutely. You know? And you're going to – I'm really – because I'm in broadcasting, I'm looking forward to the investigations in the NPR and find out how much payoffs and crookery and all kinds of other. We'll follow the money and find out what's been going on there for decades. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it will be the beginning of many congressional investigations. All right, now there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We're going to play you some audio of that coming up. You know, this business in Paris is not getting too much attention here in America. Have you noticed? I mean, listen to this. I'm sure you know of it. Protesters have blockaded the airport. Lady Gaga has had to cancel Paris concerts. Rioting youth are attacking police. A quarter of France's gas stations have run out of fuel. You know, violence is breaking out throughout the country. Students are barricading themselves in high schools nationwide. And what they're doing, they're raising, do you know the exact age? Right now, the retirement age in France is 60, and they want to raise it to what, Steve? Is it 62? In France, Yeah, is it 1 year or 2 years?
It's 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, the retirement age is 60 in France. They want to raise it to either 61 or 62. So they want to raise it 2 years.
There's blood in the streets.
The gas stations are out of fuel because they can't get the fuel trucks in. They've been shut down, mostly by students. Students are barricading themselves in schools. People are on strike. Police are being attacked. Now, why are high school kids worried about this? You know, they're 50 years away or 40 years away, and they're worried about what's going to happen when they're 62. See what happens in a socialist society? Now, the French have never been the greatest. They get their ass kicked in all these wars, and we have to go in and save them. We'll go in and save you now if you want, France. But, you know, France started Vietnam. They lost all the wars. But the French, look at what a socialist system does to the population. You have high school students that are so socialized into being on the government dole forever and ever that if they have to retire at age 61 instead of age 60, which is 45 years from now for them, for a lot of them, right? They're attacking police officers. They have no, it doesn't even occur to them that they can go out and work and support themselves and make a living, right? I mean, this is one of the dangers. You talk, let me finish real quick. I've got a second here for the break. This is the danger of Obama. See, Obama wants to turn America's economy into France's economy. Everyone's so dependent on the government. If you have to work till you're 61 years old, you start attacking police officers and shut the country down. Well, I'll tell you this. France is shut down. France is out of business. And you know what? Nothing has changed in the world. If there were nationwide riots in America, and America was shut down, and they're shutting down.
Well, this is what's coming.
You know, what would happen to the world if America
shut
down?
This is what's coming. What's going on in Europe, I mean, I got some criticism.
This is our future.
I got some criticism off the air. I think it was justified, too, that we haven't been drawing these parallels.
Yeah.
Everything you see going on in Europe is what they have in mind for us here.
Yeah, they're 20
okay,
years
they get what happens is socialism takes over.
Mm-hmm.
They get everybody on the dole. And then the unions take control,
right.
And the unions put the screws to you. The countries go bankrupt. They try to survive as best they can. Then they have to cut back. And then, of course, these people who have been suckled on the government tit, and I'm going to say that because that's a phrase they use in today's New York Post. I couldn't believe it. The New York Post uses that in their editorial page today. They get them that they're so upset that they're not going to be able to retire. They're going to have to work an extra year. They riot in the streets.
Because they don't have the ability. They've lost the ability to take care of themselves.
Right. And they've lost any feeling that it's their job, that
that's
it's
right.
an individual's job
that's
to
right.
provide for
and,
themselves and,
that's
and not
why,
the government.
That's why today France is insignificant in world affairs. The country's shut down and
that's why Europe is insignificant in world affairs.
All right, we'll take our break at 6:30, 877 Ask Adam. They're 20 years ahead of us there.
Let's talk about Dr. Ray Gailidis, LASIK vision correction. You know, last year over 2 million people had LASIK vision correction, and it increases exponentially each year. Why is it that LASIK continues to grow and grow in popularity? The answer is very simple: education. People talk to people who have had LASIK vision correction. You know, the average person who hasn't had LASIK, it's always the chicken factor. Oh, it's going to hurt. No, they're going to cut my eyes out or something. I can't believe the nonsense and the fantasies I had before I worked up my courage to have LASIK vision correction. People who had had it kept telling me, Steve, it's nothing. It's a day at the beach. You can't even feel it. The whole thing takes a couple of seconds. And they were right. You know, LASIK vision correction is all done by computer. You lie on a table, they put a computer mask over your face, click, 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 one eye, click, 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 the other eye, you get up, you see perfectly. There's not even anything called recovery time. I mean, from the time you get off the table, you can see pretty much perfectly. And as people discover that their chicken factor is not realistic and that it's not painful and it's not uncomfortable and all this stuff, I mean, who doesn't want to throw away their glasses and contacts? Certainly not you. Do it. Make that appointment with Dr. Ray Gailidis. He's one of the top LASIK specialists in the world. He will put you at ease as he put me at ease. And again, Dr. Gailidis, a 12-year sponsor of the Steve Kane Show. So give him a call, no charge for that LASIK consult, 1-800-736-8558. That's 1-800-736-8558. Be sure to tell him that we sent you.
Call Steve King toll-free at 1-877-275-2326.
This is Lori Kane. We women know that having beautiful, natural-looking breasts is essential to our self-esteem, our sex life, and the relationship we have with our significant other. No one knows this better than those of you who have survived breast cancer. In the past, breast reconstruction involved multiple surgeries with substandard results, including many scars and deformities. But today, Dr. Louis Vinius, a board-certified plastic surgeon for over two decades, has perfected an advanced technique which combines the mastectomy and reconstruction into one procedure. You wake up after your mastectomy with fully reconstructed breasts with no need for tissue expanders. You will no longer have to fear deformed breasts after surgery. For those who have already had a mastectomy and are unhappy with the way your breasts look, call Dr. Vinius to discuss a revision. Call 561-655-3305 or visit his website, lavinusmd.com.
For over 30 years, Dr. Joseph Gorfine has been tending to the dental health and dental needs of South Floridians. He is the Kane family dentist. One of the things we love about Dr. Gorfine, he's easy to talk to, he makes you comfortable, and of course, the best part, he offers the guaranteed lowest price, listen to me, the guaranteed lowest price on every dental service. An exam, a full exam with x-rays and a cleaning, just $50. Porcelain veneers, a set of six veneers elsewhere, selling for as high as $10,000. Dr. Gorfine's price, $2,195. Bring in a lower price on any dental service advertised in the papers, and Dr. Gorfine will meet it or beat it guaranteed. For an appointment, call 954-742-0201. That's 954-742-0201. Tell him Steve Kane sent you.
The Steve Kane Show is live every day from 6 till 9 a.m. on AM 1470 WNN. Call Steve now at 1-877-275-2326. And now, more Steve Kane.
All right, we're back. 877-ASK-ADAM. That's the number. Oh, listen to this. This is the Associated Press. They're very scared. Now, I haven't voted yet. I drove by again yesterday because it's on my way of my travels, the early voting location by my house. Usually the last elections align around the building, and they bust them in from all over, right? Not too many blacks or Hispanics, mostly white because it's a white area. They have to use, you know, they can't get – if you bring busloads of blacks in a white area to early vote, it might look suspicious, might. And they don't do it. But the voting booths have been empty. I mean, there's no line, no wait. AP, they're very nervous. Their man, Barack Obama, is being rejected. Associated Press, Election Day is already over for more than 3 million Americans, and a surprising number of them are Democrats. Figures from the first batch of states that offer clues about 2010 early voting patterns still give Democrats an edge in a number of states and big counties. Okay. This is the new story and spin of desperation to try to discourage conservative voters. They've gone to Democrat counties, just like Al Gore when he was trying to steal the 2000 election, one of the recount votes only in heavily Democrat counties. They've gone to heavily Democrat counties, AP, about a half a dozen of them, and said Democrat turnout in these counties is huge. Well, they're only Democrats in that county. But I also remind you this. I tell you, they think you're so stupid. You know, AP, NPR, they think you're so stupid, but you're not. You're well-informed. Problem with that, there's two problems. Don't assume that all those Democrats are voting Democrat, by the way. Right? Don't assume that. And then there was a Gallup poll yesterday. That's right. 54% of Americans believe Barack Obama should only be a one-term president, 54%. The majority of the American people, according to the latest Gallup, which is a very accurate scientific poll, 54%, the majority of the American people believe Barack Obama does not deserve a second term, that he's a failure. They're rejecting him. So don't go to some Democrat counties and say there's a lot of Democrats voting early in voting month. You're in big trouble. Don't believe anything they tell you. All right, now Juan Williams. Juan Williams, we're going to get back to Juan Williams. We'll go through some of this because there are some developments. One of the before we'll play all the audio. Before we get to the audio, one of the things NPR has said. One of our callers mentioned this, and I was surprised. I read it in a news story. NPR says.
Before we start, can I pat myself on the back and aggrandize myself for my right on the money prediction yesterday?
Yeah, we'll get to all of that. Don't worry, that's part of it.
But I don't want that to slip through the cracks.
Don't slip through anything. We'll get.
I mean,
to
that's
your
important.
Parade.
Me being right is.
I can tell.
Unbelievably,
I can tell.
It
that's
is
good.
The major priority in my life, as Lori will be glad to tell you.
That's great. Now, well, NPR says they received 63 emails after Juan Williams' appearance that they were outraged. 63 emails. You know, I deleted that many emails.
We get 63 emails.
Yeah, you know, I deleted that many emails a few minutes before the show that I didn't even read. I get more email than I can read.
Hostile email, by the way.
Some of it's hostile.
Most
some of it, you know, a lot of it are things that, you know.
In other words, we got as many complaints as Juan Williams got.
Yeah, you know, but. That's just 63 emails is nothing. I mean, that really that's really a poor. It was 63 emails of people that are very upset. Yeah, 63. And how many of those were Muslims from CARE? I'd like to know.
Well, one of them was because that's basically why they moved,
well,
as CARE, I predicted yesterday.
Well, CARE.
Just what I said.
CARE sent out an action alert, which you know is a nonviolent jihad. They sent out an action alert, the Council of American Islamic Relations, which has been an unindicted co-conspirator in terrorist investigations by the United States Justice Department. We'll get into all this stuff as the show goes on, but they sent out an action alert. Then NPR got 63 emails from Muslims in their nonviolent jihad. He had pressed type up something, Juan Williams bad, and hit send. Now, they just made Juan Williams a millionaire. He just got a $2 million contract with Fox News, so, you know, Juan Williams is doing well. But we're going to go through some of this audio. Do you know the liberals out there that talk about the fairness doctrine, there's too much dominance of conservatives on talk radio? National Public Radio is on 797 radio stations. 700. How many radio stations is Rush on? 400 or something? They're on 797 radio stations. Most of them are FM stations, right? Which is the premier portion of the dial, so we thought. You know, talk radio has really changed AM a lot. But 797 stations, they say that their philosophy is a liberal philosophy. That's what they've talked about in the last couple of days, trying their defense. And when we play this audio from the CEO and president of NPR, not just arrogance, talk about being out of touch. You know, I was very surprised at who came out in defense of Juan Williams yesterday. You know, Whoopi Goldberg on The View, and The View is significant because last week they had that blow up with Bill O'Reilly where Whoopi and Joy Behar walked off the stage over a discussion of the Ground Zero.
And what you're going to find is a list of people on the left, major politicians on the left, lining up behind Juan Williams on this. And what NPR has done, which is the greatest irony, everything's come full cycle. They fired Juan Williams for being politically incorrect, but it turns out that their firing of Juan Williams is more politically incorrect than what Juan Williams was fired for.
Well, and the fact is
which,
that,
when you think about it, is really funny.
When Americans have flown since September 11th, and there's Muslim-looking people, they don't have to be Muslim.
Everybody.
People get nervous.
Everybody thinks about it.
And you should. And there are reasons why. That's just the way it is.
And, of course, the big reason, and the thing, this always bothers me, because, you know, they talk about, well, you know, the acts of terrorism that are being perpetuated now against the United States are basically all being done by Muslims.
Yeah.
That's true, but that isn't the tip of the iceberg. You go around the world, there are major ethnic conflicts around the world, from Africa to the Balkans to the Philippines. Wherever you go in this world, there are major conflicts going on with people being slaughtered and murdered. In every case, it is a Muslim conflict.
That's right.
So it is not just the United States and not just our planes that are going down. These people are creating havoc around the world. And to not have it cross your mind when you're sitting in a waiting room in an airport and you see a number of people dressed in this manner, I mean, it doesn't make them terrorists. It just means it's a normal reaction for a normal person to have.
In this war on terror, the enemy, that's our Muslim enemy. They're using what you may think is our greatest asset, but it's also our greatest weakness, our love of diversity in America. They're using our love of diversity against us. And if you remember the flying imams, when these nut jobs were praying in the terminal, people waiting for the flight got nervous. Remember this? And they went, I would have done the same thing. They went to the ticket agent and said, these Muslim guys, they're praying to Allah. You know, security comes over. There's an investigation. Those flying imams not only won some civil lawsuits, they sued passengers who were afraid of them because they were praying to Allah. Listen here. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but every Muslim I've known is sympathetic to the terrorist cause. We've talked about this. Okay, and this is what I would compare it to. Not all of us in America are in the Army and Marines. Not all of us fight in the war on terror. But all of us good Americans support our soldiers and their cause, don't they? I mean, come on, you know. Same thing with the Muslim world. Michelle Malkin, we're going to start hearing more from Michelle Malkin. I'm going to try to get her on. She's out west. She lives in Seattle, so we had her on a few weeks ago, and I answered the phone, and she said hello. And she was in her baby's room. Like, I don't know if she has a baby. I don't know if she was breastfeeding. I don't know. She was feeding the baby. It was the middle of the night. It's hard to get her on the show because of the time change. But she wrote a book called The Case for Internment about the Japanese internment during World War II. And I read that book, and what President Roosevelt did was right on the money. And in the first chapter of the book, the one thing that really stands out in my mind, there was a all the Japanese weren't sympathetic. Are you kidding me? There was a Japanese Zero that was hit, and it crashed on a nearby island. And on the nearby island, there were some plantations. I don't know, macadamia nut or pineapple plantations. I don't know, some plantations. And they were owned by whites, right? But the workers were Japanese Americans, right? Japanese Zero just bombed Pearl Harbor, crashed. The Japanese field workers, they were Japanese Americans, not only helped the Japanese pilot that had just bombed Pearl Harbor, right? They took captive the white plantation owners and helped him contact the Japanese submarine to pick him up, and then they burned down the plantations. And after a few instances like that, Franklin Roosevelt locked him up. Michelle Malkin, she has a great book about this. There was a network of Japanese through social organizations and throughout this country and all the major cities that were communicating with Japan. You know, there were a lot of problems. There's a similar thing going on today with Muslims. Now, because of the internet and communication is much more modern than it was in 1942, you know, you can't stop it. The people just have too much ability to communicate and things like that. And America doesn't have the will to fight a war the way it should be fought. But I'm here to tell you that if you are on an aircraft and there are Muslim-looking people, they could be Cuban, but if they look Muslim, you get nervous. You look around. You see how many of them there are. You do all kinds of things. And this is what everyone does.
I talked about this. This happened because I flew shortly after 9/11.
Yeah.
I would not only look around to see who was Muslim, I would look around for potential allies that if there was a problem could
band together and try to protect ourselves. On flight 93.
Exactly right.
And you know, the shoe bomber was stopped that way. Group of passengers jumped him and they stopped him. It was another instance in the last year. You know, and this political correct business with Muslims gave us Major Hassan at Fort Hood, and there's all kinds of other.
I mean, my God, you got Muslims taping bombs to their testicles in airplanes, NPR has to figure out why you might get nervous in an airport waiting room surrounded by Muslims.
To my surprise, I was very surprised. I was watching MSNBC yesterday afternoon, and one of their liberal people said, Juan just said what all of us think when we fly. And this was MSNBC. And this is another example of Obama and his allies uniting America against him and them and what they stand for.
The bigger picture is that, and we got to break.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger picture is there's a karma here. Okay. See, that's what happens. People, evil people, and in my opinion, yes, I'm entitled. There, I said it. I'm entitled to my opinion. At least, you know, it was America, at least when I got up this morning. Evil people eventually become victims of their own excesses.
Mm-hmm.
And NPR, an evil, dishonest group of people, push and they work behind the scenes and they do all this stuff. And then they take that one step too far. They overreach is the word, themselves, and all hell breaks loose. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Call Steve King toll free at 1-877-275-2326.
Last week, our air conditioning system went kaput, but we're lucky. We have a neighbor who's in the air conditioning business, Bill Thomas AC. 50 years, family-owned and operated, and always reliable. Bill was at my house in no time. The problem? My AC coils were clogged with dirt and algae. Bill explained that an air conditioning system is like a car. If you want it to run efficiently, you have to have it cleaned and tuned up periodically. Bill removed the AC coils, gave them a professional acid wash, and tuned up the entire unit. When he was done, it was blowing ice cold air. In fact, 75% of the service calls performed by Bill Thomas AC are completed on the initial visit at an average cost of under $100. I recommend Phil Thomas AC because he's honest. He'll never sell you an AC unit that you don't need, and prices are always low. In fact, if you live anywhere in Broward or Palm Beach County, you too have a neighbor in the AC business just like me. Phil Thomas Air Conditioning, 954-434-4576. That's 954-434-4576. Tell them Steve sent you.
Listen to the Steve Kane Show 7 nights a week, midnight till 6 a.m. on AM 1470 and AM 740. To talk to Steve now, call toll-free 1-877-275-2326. Now more Steve Kane.
Oh, yes. I didn't do that. Okay, well, boy, you're going to keep me on my toes. Let's talk about Dr. Mitch Vitez and the fabulous erection injection. You know that I do personal endorsements. Those of you who have listened to the Steve Kane Show over the past 15 years know that I've been talking about this incredible product and doing personal endorsements. No, nobody else. I think Tony Curtis. When Tony Curtis was on my show, and this was years ago, and I started doing my spot for the erection injection, and I started talking about the fact that it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's unbelievable. It makes every man a sexual, marathon runner. It's unbelievable. You can make love up to 4 hours, gives you total freedom, not like the stupid pills with the, what do they call it? Viagra and all those Viagra substitutes. So I'm talking about it. It's great. It takes about 10 seconds to kick in, and you're in a love-making state for, depending on how you regulate the dosage, an hour, two, three, up to 4 hours. Not safe to use beyond 4 hours. You don't want to get into excess. And Tony lit up. He says, oh, man, he said, I use that product. This is on the air. He said, I use that product. It's the greatest. And then Tony Curtis did about 10 minutes on the erection injection. We should have saved that spot. What a spot that was. That was something else. But it will change your life. It'll change your marriage. I'm telling you, it's that simple. Not only from the physical fun point of view, but I got to tell you, it just takes all the anxiety out of it for everybody, for the women. Men and women always struggling to get their timing together. The one is excited and the other's not warmed up yet. Then the other one, by the time the other one's warmed up, the first one is, just what I'm talking about. This is normal. The big mistake they made with this product is they promote it for dysfunction. This is not a product simply for men. Now, if you have sexual dysfunction, it's a must. But this is a product for everybody. It will just bring a relaxation and ease and a loss of anxiety or removal of anxiety from your love life for both the man and the woman. Let me trust you, it will change your marriage. Available now with Dr. Mitch Matez at Sanctuary Medical. Give him a call, make the appointment. Ask for Cheryl. She sets up his appointment schedule. The number 561-886-0974. That's 561-886-0974. Be sure to mention that we sent you by. Tell him Tony Curtis sent you.
A dead man. A dead man sent me. All right, 8 before 7. Now, we're going to get into some of the audio because there's a couple of updates on this Juan Williams thing. But I want to say one thing because I will forget. This business of how the liberals always push you, so they always do something.
Boundaries.
Liberals they have no idea what boundaries are. I mean, you know, and it's really a frightening thing. And sometimes I'm even surprised. I remember during our Glisten battle, and there's something about that that I'll tell you that involved this Juan Williams thing. During the first little scuffle over it, one of the teachers, Mike Recker, he goes in front of the school board.
Mike Recker, this, by the way, for those that don't know, we have to remember there are people who have not been with us forever. Glisten, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, designed to bring gaydom into school, to indoctrinate under the guise of protecting homosexual kids from being bullied. Under that guise, they promote it, and you know, how do you know you're not gay if you haven't tried it?
So Mike Recker, Mike Recker, this blew me away. I couldn't believe this. Mike Recker goes in front of the school board at a school board meeting. The entire school board is there. Some of them now facing charges. Some of them may be in jail. Some of them voted out because of this. Mike Recker goes in front of the school board. This is being broadcast on television. He's in front of not just the entire school board, also the superintendent. And he says, you know, my name's Mike Recker. I teach English at Plantation Middle School, and I am a gay man. And I said to myself, I said, you know, since when did it become okay to the point that
appropriate.
That not just appropriate, when did it become accepted to the degree that a gay man who's teaching tweens or what they are, you know, sixth, seventh graders, goes in front of the school board and says that they're gay and starts talking about what, you know, because when you say that, you say you're talking about your sex life. When did that become acceptable? I mean, so political correctness goes way far. And at the end, we had a long battle, and they got the gay group got their agreement to get in the Broward County schools, and I don't want to relive the whole thing, and it appeared at the moment that we had lost the battle against these homosexual activists. And you had said, Steve, you said, don't worry, they'll do something, you know, because they had a victory here, they'll do something, they'll push too far, and they'll lose the agreement. And sure enough, I don't know. It wasn't long. It may have been a few months. It wasn't long. They went to an elementary school, a kindergarten class, and showed them a gay video. They also had SpongeBob in. Remember this?
Right.
They showed them a gay activist video, and they're so out of control, they called their friends up at the newspaper to come down and cover
it. Yeah.
And there was a little blurb in the paper, and we saw it in the morning. And Steve and I were on the school board diversity committee then, and we said, hey, wait a minute, they weren't going to have contact with the kids unless they did. And here they are in a kindergarten classroom. They pushed too far. They went over the line, and they screwed themselves. They still operate under different names and everything and aliases. But, you know, liberals will always push to the extreme. There are no boundaries.
I mean, if these people, forget hardcore liberal or hardcore conservative, if these people had sat down after Juan Williams had made that statement on the show, and they had a rational brainstorming session and laid everything out on the table and examined what he really said and examined what the feet, and this is, of course, the big consequences. That's the big thing in decision-making. I talked about this with Barbara Correa. You know, Barbara will lay out a couple scenarios that you can do with your portfolio, and then she'll go over what the potential consequence for each. This is what's called a good decision-making process. Not everybody has this ability, by the way, but if you're an executive in a multi-million-dollar company, you figure you should be able to think logically. And if they had thought this out in their right mind, they would have never done what they did.
Well, we'll play Vivian Schiller. She's the NPR president.
She is a piece
of work.
We'll
play that after 7, okay? It's a bit long, and I don't want to play it now, but I want to play two things now. The first one, I want to play again for you what Juan Williams said. What Juan Williams said, he said nothing wrong. We'll play what Juan Williams said, and then there's another clip that will play for you after that. But this is.
Now, I want to do one little disclaimer here. I apologize for not only doing this now, we'll probably do it when we get back. I know everybody knows the clip. If you watch television last night, I mean, you have the clip word for word because it just goes over and over and over again. However, for the story to make sense, for the few that haven't heard what Juan said that started this controversy, the whole discussion makes no sense if you don't repeat his basic statement.
All right, this was Juan Williams. This was on Bill O'Reilly. And then we'll play this, and then there's another clip I'm going to play for you after that.
Well, actually, I hate to say this to you because I don't want to get your ego going, but I think you're right. I think, look, political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know, the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Okay.